We've got trouble. Let's put the fun in funeral.
This is weird. He's seen your underwear?
Oh, hiya, B-Man. Harley Quinn here.
How do you like my new uniform?
Face it, Tiger. You just met the ultimate Spider-Woman.
Oh, it looks so lovely.
Excuse me, Mr. Owl. Can you tell me how many licks does it take to...
Opposite gender titan, go!
I'm Tara. You do my voice. You don't sound like me. I'm versatile.
I used to do this voice a lot.
Yeah, I wish you'd seen it.
And pretty Pegasus.
Whoa. That montage was exhausting.
And now you know why we are in awe of our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, the voice actress of our times, Tara Strong, in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Tara!
Oh, hi, guys. That was awesome. There was one little mistake in there.
Oh, no. What was it?
Yeah, Arlene Sorkin was the original Harley, and you had her on there, and she is a goddess. So I came in during the video games, and now I do it pretty much full time, but
right.
But everything else was right.
You know, if we had wanted to do a montage of all of your characters, it would be 11:30 by time it finished playing. You have over 500 acting credits, Tara.
I like to say that I win IMDb.
You do.
You may.
I win.
Yeah, yes.
Is there anyone who has more IMDb credits than you?
I don't think so.
That's amazing.
That is crazy.
Wow. And I know that you get asked a lot of the same questions a lot of the time about how to get into and how do you do it and how do you take care of your voice and all that. But the one story I've never heard you tell is, how did you get started? Weren't you just a kid when you were Hello Kitty?
Yeah. So I knew when I was 4 years old that I wanted to be a singer, dancer, actress. And I begged my parents to get me an agent. I grew up in Toronto and they didn't really know much about the business. And finally, they got me one when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I booked my first TV show, which was an on-camera show with Mr. T. And
awesome.
My first musical theater was Music Man. And my first cartoon, which was Hello Kitty. And I didn't know that that was going to be primarily what I would do in my career. It was just, in Toronto, I had a very well-rounded career. I still did on-camera, which I do now, too. Sometimes I had a movie mm-hmm. out last summer. But that is mostly what I do. And I didn't foresee that when I was younger. But it's certainly so fun.
So,
I can't complain.
So how did anyone even think of, because most people never think about voice actors, right?
Well, I think they do now because of the internet.
Well, yeah, maybe, sure. Maybe not. But,
when, that?
But yeah. When you were coming up, it's amazing that somebody had the foresight to say, hey, in addition to the on-camera work, let's just take advantage of Tara's voice and try to find her some work that way. I mean, that's super smart that they even thought of that.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone ever saw it coming. Like I said, it was just another audition. It was another production co-produced in Canada. And that was lucky for me that I had over 20 animated series to my name before I moved here with American co-production. So it wasn't like I was just someone getting off the bus going, hey, I want to
exactly,
do voices.
Yeah.
It seemed like a pretty small community of people.
It's really tiny.
Yeah. They do everything.
Yeah. I see the same 20 people everywhere I go.
You do?
Uh-huh.
So breaking into that business must be incredibly difficult.
It's really, really hard. And so I have a problem with people, you know, charging a fortune for hopefuls and saying pay to audition. Never, ever pay to audition.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's such a horrible
scam. You have to pay them to audition?
Yeah. And people take advantage of kids that really want to get in. And like, hey, here, make this demo for $5,000 and do this. The only thing you should be doing if that's really your passion is taking acting classes, singing lessons, scene study, so that you, when you get into the booth, you're not intimidated and you're ready and you're prepared. Because if you're too nervous and you mess up, you'll never get another shot.
Are you still going on auditions? I feel like you should just pick up the phone and they're like, here's what we need. Here's the script.
That happens a lot. Uh-huh. But I do still audition every day. I have my own home studio. And often you have to audition for a part you've already had, which can be...
What?
Very upsetting and hard.
You have to audition for a part you already had.
Yeah, because there's often different, you know, producers that come in or even studio heads that come in and say, let's try this, let's try that. And my agent will say, do you mind? They want you to audition again. If you say no, then you're out of the running.
Sure.
So unfortunately, it's
That's
part
bizarre.
Of my job and I do it all the time. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
That is such a surprise.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me if this is a delicate question, but I honestly don't know because you're clearly so good at so many voices on so many shows. Why don't people like The Simpsons and Family Guy and shows like that also have somebody like you on staff?
Well, I've been on Family Guy many times.
You have? Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. I've been really fun players on a lot of those Fox primetime shows and booked a lot of pilots and done a bunch of stuff for them. The only show I haven't been on is Simpsons, but I did a Futurama. That stuff's really fun, especially when you're doing like kid voices all day. Like, I'll never forget, my mother-in-law was visiting and she came with me to Rugrats, and then from Rugrats we went to Drawn Together, and I was like, just so you know, this is not the Rugrats.
when when you're walking around in the real world and you do your regular voice, which I understand is your Batgirl, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
She is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do people ever recognize you from any of the other voices that you've done just because they hear your real voice?
It's more that they see my face because, like I said, because of the internet. I don't know that my predecessors knew how loved they were, but now people look up who their favorite voice actor is and who's on what show. So I get recognized in my daily life here and there, and people say, oh, I love this show, I love that show. But at cons, I'm like J-Lo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Or like if I go into a GameStop, you know, like, sure. Oh my God, that's so strong. You know, so I know my peoples.
I can imagine that you're going to say all of them are special. They're like your children. But do you have a favorite voice?
So that is true because mm-hmm. I don't know what horseshoe I was born under, but to get to play Harley and Batgirl and Raven and Timmy Turner and Bubbles and Twilight, like, it, they're so iconic, these characters, and I feel so lucky. But when I don't know what little girl didn't love The Little Mermaid. Like, the poster is still hanging in my childhood bedroom.
Oh, really?
And so shortly after I moved to town, I booked her daughter, and we worked on the sequel together. And singing in studio with Jodie Benson, I was, like, bawling.
Oh, wow.
Totally fangirling. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I've just loved you for so long. So that has a really special place in my heart for The Mermaid, too. Yeah.
This is the voice of Tara Strong here on The Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about, among other things, the Teen Titans Go to the Movies in theaters everywhere this Friday. Now, that's what you were at Comic-Con for this past weekend, right?
Well, that's one of the things. I had about 1,000 things.
Oh, did you? Okay. Teen Titans Go has a crazy fan base, too, like so many of the other shows you've been on?
And the movie also has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How
right
about
now,
that?
Right?
How often does that happen?
I've never seen it happen. And it's such a funny movie. It's so fun. I just saw it for the second time at the premiere and laughed even more. And it's earning that rating. It's just fun.
It has to feel like you've done show movies, TV shows, whatever before, where you thought it was fantastic and the critics are like,
eh. Yes, that's happened many times.
And that has to suck. But then you do something like this and they say 100%. You go, okay, well, that's what I think. I agree
with
you.
The reaction has been overwhelming and really surprising, and it's making us really happy. Because at first, when we started doing the show, fans were hesitant because it wasn't the continuation of where we left off the original series, which ended at a crazy pivotal story arc. So people are like, wait, it's coming back, but it's not that, and they're TVs.
2006?
Yeah.
Is that when it was?
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
And so at first the fans weren't on board, but then I think because they kept the original voice cast, which was very clever, they ended up falling in love with us. And I think this is just going to propel that even further because it really is so funny. The songs are fantastic. They just released a video yesterday, and there's super fun, celebrity stars in it too. And obviously the original cast is my family, and it's just a great, fun time.
I remember when celebrities started taking over for models on magazine covers. And a lot of models are like, hey, wait a minute. You just hired her because they're famous. Is some of that going on in the voice world now where you have people like Nicolas Cage and whoever this Jimmy Kimmel guy is doing voices in Teen Titans? I mean, do you look at them and go, hey, wait a minute. You're not voice actors.
Well, when you look at the original big animated features, they didn't have any huge celebrities in them. And so that's been a transition for a long time.
I feel like Robin Williams is the one who kind of changed everything.
Yeah, and I have no problem with huge A-list celebrities coming in if they're amazing, and they are. I mean, I can't tell you how awesome it was doing Batgirl alongside Mark Hamill. There's not a bigger on-camera star than Mark Hamill. But he's fantastic at it. So I always say it's like asking a tap dancer if they do ballet. Not everybody does. So if they're great at it, I welcome it. You had to give Nick Cage Superman. Come on. I mean,
yeah.
He had to be Superman. Sure. And the other guys did a great job. So if they're doing a good job, I'm okay with it.
And Will Arnett, by the way.
Hilarious.
What a voice. And yeah. So funny, and with Lego and with everything else.
Yeah,
he's great.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the synopsis, before we let you go, Tara, the synopsis of Teen Titans, though, these are not your A-list superheroes, but they band together to make greatness happen.
They really do, and it's so sweet. You know, Robin, who is the leader on the show, is played by Scott Menville, who's absolutely brilliant and tireless. Like, really, Raven just does this the entire time. And he's like all over the place, and he really wants his own movie, and we're not big enough stars to have our own movie. And so the whole film becomes about that and really how you lose yourself when you get to Hollywood, which I've seen happen a few times. And it's just an all-around fun, good time. And the Teen Titans, are going on this adventure in Hollywood.
But the downside is it only got 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so. What a bummer.
You got to deal with that.
But great timing, because everyone needs a laugh right now, maybe more than ever.
Oh, that's what I said on the carpet. I think the world is ready for a laugh. And I just think it's a good time to just sit down and turn off your brain and have a good time.
Well, it's DC Entertainment and Cartoon Network, and it is Teen Titans Go to the Movies, available in theaters everywhere this Friday. Fun for the whole family. Tara, let's not make it so long next time you came in, all right?
Okay.
Really fun. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Kevin Amico here on K-Rock. Allie, you brought our attention to an interesting study yesterday about men and their hair.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Apparently, bald men are more confident, attractive, and dominant than guys with hair.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. They showed a bunch of pictures to women, and that's what they were saying.
The University of Pennsylvania asked three groups of participants to rate certain photos of men according to character traits such as attractiveness, confidence, and dominance. Bald men won in a clean sweep. How about that?
It doesn't matter who it is?
No, not in this.
It doesn't matter who it is.
No, obviously they're not showing Jason Statham in The Rock.
The picture in the article is The Rock.
Of course it is.
Okay,
they're not going to show Doug.
Right.
Why is it always Doug?
I don't know.
So now this is kind of interesting because, and look, I have a luxurious head of hair, as you guys know. I have a tremendous mane. But there are probably a lot of bald guys out there, or maybe more correctly, people who assume that bald guys are lacking something by not having hair, that somehow that's a strike against them because they're bald. But it sounds like this survey is suggesting that, especially if you're trying to attract women, being bald may be a positive.
Let me interject, because it says these rules only apply if you're completely bald. The study found that guys with male pattern baldness or spotty patches of hair on their head were actually seen as weaker than those completely bald. And here's the thing. Dudes that have no hair, I feel like guys that are trying to cover up a little part of their hair, they're trying to overcompensate for some that's missing.
You can totally tell.
You can totally tell, and there's I don't want to say a sadness about it.
There's
but
a
it's
sadness
like,
about it.
There's a sadness there about is. It. So shave it, dudes. If you are going bald and you're trying desperately to act like you're not, there's obviously a lack of self-confidence there.
Now, Bean, what do I do? Muggs just walked in and took his position in front of a microphone. Do I turn it on?
Yes, you do, because I asked Muggs to come in.
All right. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, Kevin.
But, Allie, before we get to Muggs, when you make that decision to shave off whatever hair you have left, aren't you then putting yourself in a, now I have to shave my head every couple of days for the rest of my life? Is it possible that some guys don't do that just because it becomes a pain in the ass thing that now they have to keep up?
Oh, no.
Oh, how hard
do they
have
to shave their head? Women shave their legs every goddamn day, Bean.
Muggs, you're a young, attractive,
handsome
man, but you're losing hair at an alarming rate for your age.
Yeah, it's thinning out pretty good up top. And
it is.
Thanks for saying up top.
I mean, not both. Down below.
It's both.
It's plentiful
fine down below.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plentiful.
It's all going there.
Ask Dave. Dave knows.
Leaving his head. What?
No, never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm currently fighting with the thinning battle, and I've used topicals, I've used medications, which have terrible side effects. My best man at my wedding just fully committed and just recently just shaved all his hair off.
Does he seem happier
he
and more
seems
confident?
Happier, more confident. He actually, he looks good.
Would he give a better speech now than he did at his wedding?
Okay. Well, yeah, because he's a recovering alcoholic.
Gotcha.
Now. Yeah.
So, Bugs, have you given any thought to the premise of this, which is it's better to be bald than to have thinning hair? Is that something you've considered?
To shave it.
I've considered it, however, I myself don't think I would look that great bald. I just don't.
I've done it, and I look horrible.
Yeah,
but hold on, horrible. Kevin. I've heard you say that before. And
horrible.
Let's face it. Neither of us looked very good doing it.
Right.
But I think it's because it's a shock to see it for the first time.
Right.
And I think, honestly, a week in, people would not even remember what you look like with hair. Because the same thing happens when people grow a beard or a mustache. It looks so weird at first.
Yeah.
And then you just get used to it.
And you start to own it. And with that ownership of finally shaving your head, that confidence comes forth. I'm telling you.
Because now you don't ever have to think about, oh, my God, my hair is thinning. What are people thinking as they look at me? That's gone. That's out. Like Allie says.
All you need to think about is sunscreen. That's it.
You should shave your head today, right now.
No.
Right
what's,
now.
What's stopping you? What's stopping you, Bugs?
I'm not confident enough. I don't feel I'd be confident enough to rock it that well. I'm scared.
Do you feel like you're confident in rocking what you have?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that answer.
I'm almost to the point where, you remember Bill Murray in the first Ghostbusters? He had that little, like, patch. It's like the thinning cul-de-sacs in the... I'm almost to that point. So if it goes to that point and past that...
I think I might shave it.
I'm trying every kind of topical that they have out on the market
right now.
But
you've been trying that.
Well,
shave it. Today.
Muggs, do you honestly think there is something out there that is going to suddenly start you sprouting new hair?
Yeah, you've tried everything.
No, there are products, not that like grow your hair, but they stop this thinning process. They stop pretty much the follicles from dying out, and it keeps your hair where
it is. The hair that you do have,
yes,
that keeps it there.
So I think if I use them more regularly...
Shave it!
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
We could have it done in like 5 minutes.
You have clippers?
What about what Allie is saying? What about what Allie is saying about how women find bald men charismatic and attractive and confident? There's so many positives that go along with it.
Good for them, but... I just don't.
Again, I think it depends on the person.
Oh, it definitely depends on the person. But, I mean, this study that they did, the bald men won across the board, a clean sweep. They were seen as more confident, attractive, and dominant than guys with hair across the board. And here's the best part of this. Men with shaved heads fare better economically in negotiations. So if you're up against a bald dude for a job... Head on home, Muggs.
Really?
Head on home.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. Let's involve some of our listeners in this discussion, shall we? Now, do we want to hear from guys who have done both? Guys who have been hair?
I think so. Yeah.
Guys with hair and now are bald, and tell us the differences. And let's also hear from the ladies and find out if they agree with this study that the bald men they find more attractive. So I think we're looking for both of those. We want to hear your opinion
on bald. Shave it!
At the end of it, I think we Facebook Live Mug shaving off his hair.
Yes,
I think that's what's happening
about.
Here. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your opinion on this topic when we return right after this on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Portugal, the man started talking without my mic on. That just happened.
We don't need that today, Kevin.
Right?
We don't need that today. Baldness. Ladies find baldness more attractive in many categories than men with hair. So we're getting your experience and your opinion on that. Carson's Ryan. Line 4 is on the phone here on the Kevin Beach Show. Ryan, what do you have to offer us, sir?
Hey, what's up?
Good
morning, you guys.
Good morning.
So I used to weigh about 285 pounds. Talked myself into shaving my head, went ahead and did it. Everyone in my life, including my wife and sister, said I looked great until I went and got my passport photo and was like, what the hell did I just do? Went ahead and let it grow back. Recently, I've lost about 100 pounds, and my kid says the Batman logo is on the top of my head, and I'm really not feeling it anymore, so I'm really considering on shaving this stuff off again.
I mean, you said everyone in your life loved it.
Yeah, and the only reason you did it was a passport photo? No one likes their passport photo. It's impossible.
No. Allie, you didn't actually see me. I was your bartender at Weenie Rose downstairs.
I don't remember any of that, Ryan.
Hey, don't try to drag Allie into your drama.
Listen,
here.
Ryan, then you're the reason.
Right?
I talked about your pores on the air, why it was so wasted.
Ryan, you pour strong. Well done.
Really strong.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ryan. So it sounds
shave
like
it, Ryan.
He's all over the place, but I think the conclusion is you got to shave it. All right. So 1-800-520-106, and we'll talk to you next after PTM on K-Rock. All right, let's get Beer Mug back in here because we got a lot of guys who are right or used to be where Beer Mug is right now, and they made their decision and they love it.
Can I just say something real quick? Matthew Teague tweeted and he said, "My wife calls me Sex Luther since I shaved." Nice, Matthew. Sex Luther.
Why don't we start with let's start with Lily. She's in Boyle Heights. Let's get a woman's point of view on this. She's on line 2. Lily, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on with you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am married to a bald guy.
Yes.
Okay.
And, hello, can we not forget about The Rock?
Right.
Vin Diesel? Hello.
Right, but here's the thing. Most of us don't look like The Rock or Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Neither does your husband, by the way.
No, neither is my husband, but...
But you love it.
I love rubbing him and him being bald.
Yeah.
And oh yeah.
Go on.
Does the carpet right, match the there. Drapes?
Oh my God.
Hey, Lily needs a moment. Lily, I have to ask, did he have hair when you guys first got together? When you guys started dating, did he have hair back then?
No, he
he's always
he was
been
playing
bald.
Football. He
okay.
was playing football, so he had to be bald. So we made a bed one time.
What team was he on that they made him be bald?
What do you mean he had to be bald?
Was he in an alopecia league? All right, thank you for the call.
We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Alec.
He's in the Alberto League. I have to see it.
Alec is on line one. He got to where at the point that Muggs is at now. Let's find out what he did.
All right, Alec, hi.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, no, I was doing my dude. I was like, I was 18, and I had hair that was like 18 inches long, super thick. I mean, people were always trying to touch it. By 19, my hairline looked like it was running away from my face like it was Michael Myers. That thing was running back.
What happened in that short amount of time?
I think from what I'm hearing, it's just my genes. A lot of my people on my mom's side, they all lost their hair. But
could have been in that semester abroad at Chernobyl.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's a valid question.
I mean, I shaved my head after about 3 years of trying to save it. And, it works out, dude. I mean, I was in Vegas shortly after I shaved my head. And the cashier that was ringing me up, she's like, oh, where's all your hair? I was like, oh, I had to shave it off. It was just kind of running away. She's like, well, it was a good move.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Hello.
Give me some more chips.
Alec, I have a question. Alec, do you have a big nose like I do?
Have you seen my schnoz?
Yeah.
He does, actually. He said.
Okay, think of Triple H.
Okay.
My nose is probably almost here.
Okay. I got it.
All right. Thank you, Alec. Appreciate that. Let's try George, West L.A., up next, line three on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, George.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Where are you on this bald controversy?
No, I'm go for it, man. I mean, I understand Muggs. It's tough at first, but it's like, you know, like when you go into a pool, you know, the water feels cold, but if you jump in, it all gets better. You know what I mean?
Just tear the Band-Aid right off.
Yeah.
We can do it that way if you want.
The way that I approached it was I gradually started like just the my haircuts would just get closer, you know, as far as the like
right, shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah, shorter and shorter, and that it kind of takes away the shock value of people. One day you have hair and one day
you
don't.
Smart.
That's a good idea.
That's really smart.
You ease your friends and family into you deciding to be bald. I like
George,
that.
George, are you now more confident?
Well, I want to say I didn't want to come off as
Are you more confident? Yes.
I always felt that I was pretty confident. So I guess that's part of what helped me at least accept it. That
mm-hmm. okay. You know,
it is what it is.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, I can't argue with that. It literally is what it is. Right. All right. Thank you very much. Let's do one more. Let's make it Megan Redondo Beach. Give a lady the last word, shall we?
All right, Megan. Hi. Hello,
good
Megan.
Morning.
Oh, there you are.
Hey, what's going on? What do you think?
So, I have to admit, I've been on Bumble way longer than I'd like.
Okay.
And you see guys that rock the bald for sure. Mm-hmm. And the ones that, you know, that are always trying to cover it up or their pictures, they're trying to not, you know, they're trying to hide it.
Or wearing a baseball hat, Dodgers baseball hat or something like that, Muggs.
Just wearing that.
Go ahead.
You got to rock it. You got to own it. And I mean, Muggs was already saying he wasn't confident enough to shave it. Get some balls. Do it, dude.
Get some balls.
Get some balls.
By the way, coming up just after 8, around 20 minutes from right now, we're going to be looking for your telephone calls. If you were hired for a job but never started, you got fired before your first day at work.
You got fired on your first day.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to do, you didn't even make it to your first day.
That's right. And we'll tell you all about that and take your calls too, coming up here on the world famous K-Rock. Speaking of getting fired, the farting security guard is back in the news, you guys. Remember Paul Flart? We were talking about him last week.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He was on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. He was a guy who on Instagram was working as a security guard at a Florida hospital. Wait, it was in Florida? What are the chances? 100%. And he discovered that there was good acoustics around the lobby and the front desk. So once he heard that, he said, oh, I need to start recording these. These are too good to waste.
What are these, Bean?
Farts. His yes. Farts. Yes. Here's a little bit of what that video sounded like that put him on the Roundup last week. Okay, I think we all know what farts are. So it's like 3 minutes of him sitting down 2 seconds at a time to make a fart and go about his business. And it won't surprise you. Oh, that's, we got it. Understand. It won't surprise you that once that video went viral and people were able to see the name on his uniform of the security company that he worked for, it was pretty easy to track him down at the hospital where he worked. So he got fired.
Oh. Right?
You sound very disappointed, Allie.
Well, when I did this story last week, it really bummed me out that this man is bringing joy. He's just farting. That's it. He even switched up his diet. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He had a real, dare I say, dry spell. And and so decided to do some research, found out what foods he had to eat to keep the farting back up.
Right.
And he changed his diet. He's like an athlete.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
I'm positive he's an athlete.
He is a big proponent of flaxseed. That's what he's sharing with his followers, is flaxseed is the way to go. So he not only got fired, but he continued to entertain the world by recording him getting fired. When he showed up for work after this thing had gone viral, they were waiting for him in the parking lot. His real name is Doug, by the way. He moved down to Florida from New Jersey to help his mom out and then took this job as a security guard. So here's Paul Flart, a.k.a. Doug. Here he is finding out, and he wasn't surprised at all that he was losing the job.
So we're going live, about to get fired from my job, probably. Let's find out.
Hey.
What's going on?
Not much. Listen, we need to talk, man.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of pissed off people here.
Okay.
Okay. What are you doing with your phone?
I'm recording, sir.
Why are you recording?
Because.
Take it off.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
You're not going to record me wearing that uniform.
I'm not recording you, sir. I'm recording me, sir.
Okay, you can.
Okay, so he was recording himself. All you could see is him.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't see anyone else or the place or anything.
Turn it off.
Okay. Well, so you're firing me anyway, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
keep.
But you need to turn it off.
If you're going to fire me, I'm done.
Okay.
So I can just walk out of here right now, and then if that's it.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys are going to fire me, like, what's.
Well, you do realize that you're on a client's property.
Yeah.
Wearing our uniform.
100%. I'm not going to argue the facts of all you getting, you know.
That's what thing. Now,
yeah.
Again, it's come to our attention that you've recorded yourself in our uniform on the client's property.
Never showing any logos or anything, though.
You can. I'm not going to argue
with
that. That's
fine.
An attorney.
That's fine.
Here's your write-up.
First of all, Paul Flart needs Allie as his attorney because he is not – forget fighting for your job. He understands why he's being fired. He should at least be pointing out the joy that he's bringing to the world.
Thank you.
I didn't bring that up.
Yeah, he's not even saying, what about the millions of people that I made happy? Do you ever think about them?
Right.
Why do you care more about your stupid company than you do about the happiness of the world?
What about my training that went into this?
Right.
I'm an athlete.
Thank you.
Here's your write-up.
Okay.
You can read it. If you want to dispute it, there's plenty of room down here or on the back side that I left for you.
Okay.
Okay, so if you want to dispute it, that's fine. I have asked you to stop recording. You're refusing. So what I need you to do is go ahead and read that.
Okay. So let me see this real quick. Can I not see this?
No.
Okay. An unusually high amount of time. Okay.
I think 75 times would account as
3 second videos, though?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
75 times using something that you knew that you shouldn't be using.
Okay.
He was using his b-hole.
Thank you.
You're supposed to use your b-hole.
Agreed.
That's right?
So, I mean, that's fine. All right.
Do you wish to sign?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's irrelevant, you know, at this point, for sure.
Okay. Good luck.
That's it?
Yep.
We're all done here?
Yep.
That's it. We lost the job, guys. That's it.
I need the badges, please.
Yeah, sure. You can have this. I'll drop the shirts off to George.
Stop recording while you're on this property.
I'm just going to leave the property.
That's fine.
So
stop recording now.
Okay.
While you're off the property. You're off the property.
All right. So that's it, guys.
You are on private property.
That's it. We're done. Paul Flart will continue in the future.
Dude.
Please stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
I'm asking
appreciate
you
all of you.
We're done, brother.
Okay.
Why is that guy, he's so uptight about the recording.
Here's the thing. I feel let down.
Let down.
By Doug.
Why?
How did he not let one rip that whole time?
That would have been spectacular.
The best.
I just have one more thing to say.
Sure.
That would have been spectacular.
That would have been the best. He right. does say, by the way, that he has plans to keep going as Paul Flart. I mean, now that he's famous, you know, he's famous forever.
But imagine, mm-hmm. he moved down there to take care of his mother, right?
Right. Yes.
Mom, listen. I lost my job. Why? I recorded myself farting.
What?
Can you imagine that conversation?
We're going to keep making content. Mm-hmm. We can do Paul Flart on vacation, you know, throw in like a Hawaiian shirt or a hat of some sort, and then just go around Florida farting. We're going to keep going, he says. He also has a Patreon page where people are donating to him to, quote, facilitate his goal of surviving on farts and being able to continue making the content that makes all of you so joyous and happy. I think you guys know what I'm thinking, and that is Paul Flart 2020.
Agreed.
Right? Right. You're listening to the world famous Kerik at 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, a few minutes ago, we debuted a brand new song from Pearl Jam called Can't Deny Me that sounded pretty good. I'd like to try to figure out a way to play that again before the end of the program. Good to have PJ back. It is 7:35 and time for a little feature we like to call Great News.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for Great News today.
Great news! It's a little respite from the onslaught of bad news that we see every single day. Alan McKay, why don't you go up first today?
Mine has to do with a picture that you might have seen. It went very viral of a young woman at a Waffle House. She's one of the servers there that took the time to cut up the food of an elderly man that apparently was struggling with the food in front of him. A woman posted online, I don't know her name, but I heard the elderly man tell her that his hands don't work too good. He was also on oxygen and struggling to breathe. And without hesitation, she took his plate and began cutting up his ham. This may seem small, but to him, I'm sure it was huge. I'm thankful to have seen this act of kindness and caring at the start of my day while everything in the world seems so negative. If we could all be like this waitress and take time to offer a helping hand. And it's such a beautiful picture of her just reaching over and just cutting up his food for him, making his day a little bit easier. Well, that went viral. Hundreds of thousands of people saw it and they began tagging Ebony Williams, who is an 18-year-old girl from Galveston, Texas. And then city officials got involved and they proclaimed with Williams at a press conference that March 8th was declared Ebony Williams Day. And then they brought out the president of Texas Southern University, who gave her a $16,000 college scholarship, which wow. is why she was working at the Waffle House, was to raise money to be able to go to college. So just something as simple as an act of kindness that so many of us just overlook every single day. For that to have blown up and then benefited her in such a beautiful way, that is my great news.
Let me tell you what my favorite thing is about that story with Ebony Williams, is that she's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a 45-year-old woman who has lived. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is somebody who's just pure at heart, that she would do something like that for an elderly person at her age.
Yeah. And she wound up saying at the press conference, she said, that's just me. It just came from the heart. I'd do it any other time, not just this time. So
that's adorable.
She was raised right.
I love it. All right, Michael, you're up next, sir.
Awesome story. In 1980, a man by the name of Malcolm Alexander was put behind bars for life, a life sentence for rape that he claims from the beginning he did not commit. The Innocence Project believed him. And just in January of this year, he was released. He was put behind bars in 1980. He spent 38 years in prison for a crime that DNA evidence shows he absolutely, without a doubt, no ifs, ands, or buts, did not commit this crime.
Oh, my God.
During this time, behind bars, almost 40 years, he kept a very positive, upbeat attitude. One of the reasons why is for the last 9 years, he's been raising a rescue puppy named Inn. short for innocent.
Oh.
I named her In because I was innocent and she was too. I always would tell her, day in and day out, one of these days, just be patient. One of these days, In, we're going to get out of here.
She is this a program in the prison where you're allowed to have a dog, or did he get it smuggled in?
No, many of these states have in the penitentiary a program where people can raise, inmates can raise dogs, and it's been shown to be incredibly therapeutic and helpful.
What state was this man in?
This is in Louisiana. This is actually
curiosity.
I'm in business then if I go to jail.
Right.
Out of curiosity, Bean, how does one smuggle in a dog to prison?
I was curious. That was going to be my follow-up question: is how did he keep the dog a secret from people who work there in the prison?
Okay,
but it sounds like the dog was authorized, so I guess it's okay. I withdraw my line of questioning, okay. Your Honor.
Malcolm, a teacup Yorkie or something. I mean, you could think there's an orifice.
Oh my! That's not what this feature's about.
I'm just saying. Malcolm actually has April 22nd. Tattooed on his body. I wrote it on my body, right on my heart. It's her birthday. I can remember her birthday better than I can remember my own. So, as I pointed out, after 38 years, the Innocence Project got this man exonerated, and he is released from prison back with his family. But the state of Louisiana agreed to let him take In with him.
Aww,
so now,
nice.
He has his family, he has his dog, and he has let the things that have happened in the past, and I quote, "I let what happened in the past be gone. Let's move on. Simple," he said. "I'm surrounded by pure love. I have my family. I have my dog. And for that, I am blessed."
Oh, my goodness.
Come on!
Please tell me he got a huge payout from the state, though.
Actually, that's the part of the story I didn't want to get into, because right now he's looking at maximum $250,000. Now, don't get me wrong. That's nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, but it's not 38 years, man.
It's not 38 years worth. They're petitioning to get that raise, but...
Thank God for the Innocence Project and the amazing work that they do.
Legitimate heroes.
Yes.
The things that they do.
And the takeaway here is he's got a dog. He's got a dog that makes him happy. You know what I mean? I'm sure the dog is relieved to not be pulled away from his owner of 9 years too, just because he got out of jail. I'm happy that they are still together. That's all. That's great news, Michael.
That is in fact great news.
I didn't know until this weekend, but our old friend Mike Rowe, who you remember from the Dirty Jobs, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Dirty Jobs,
right.
Dirty Work. Great, great guy. One of the best voices in all of broadcasting. He has a YouTube series called Returning the Favor, where he spotlights compassionate individuals in the community who dedicate their lives to helping others. And he introduced me to an 82-year-old named Alton Thacker. You won't believe what he has been doing in his retirement for the last 16 years.
Tiny Tim was a real person. We met him while we were in Mexico, and he was severely handicapped. And he taught us that if you want to be happy, you do something for somebody else. We started the Tiny Tim Foundation for Kids back in 1996, and it has been a blessing to our lives. The average age of the people who work at the toy factory is 72 now. When a senior citizen comes in and they do something for a little person, they feel younger. The toys are made here locally, and they go all over the world. Last year, we gave away 85,000. To see the life light up just over a little block of wood with four wheels, it's sheer joy.
So this is what he and the other retirees do there in a suburban Salt Lake City, Utah factory, is that the youngest, by the way, is 72 who works in the factory. The oldest is 93. And they go in there in their off time and they build little wooden toy cars that they then hand out in the community and around the world. And in fact, citizens can stop by and be handed a box of 100 toy cars if they're going on vacation to Costa Rica or something, or to Mexico or to Poland or wherever they're going. Take these toys with you and hand them out to little kids everywhere. This year, they will cross the 1 million toys made mark. Is that unbelievable or not?
It's incredible.
So Mike Rowe tracked him down, and it's a very sweet episode. Again, you should definitely check it out if you can. The show is called Returning the Favor, and they put a surprise parade together for this guy, Mr. Thacker, where they had, they declared it his day and everything like that. And they took an ATV, and they transformed it so that it looks like one of his wooden toy tours. toys and gave it to him so that he can drive it around in all the parades and stuff.
Nice! I
can imagine. And they also paid his rent on the factory space for a year.
Come on.
It's a very sweet story. So they are giving back to this man and his fellow retirees who are giving back so much. I just love something as simple as just making a little toy car and handing it to a kid. How much they both benefit on either end of that. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, wonderful story and a wonderful man, too. And that's my great news. Animal stories on the way, and funny man Paul Scheer will be here next hour as well. Hey, Muggs.
Hey, good morning. You're listening to the smooth, dulcet town tones of 106.7 KROQ, 106.7 on your FM dial.
That voice. Yeah.
He got me kind of excited.
Did he?
I like the medium of radio.
You were going to use the word turgid, weren't you, Jensen?
Thinking about it.
Yeah, I get this sinus thing, which either makes me sound like the DOC, which you heard like a couple months ago, or Charlie Tuna. So it's either one.
Yeah. I like what you're doing. Muggs is here because it's time for Cheers with Beer Mug. Hit it, Steve.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What do you
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Every week to 10 days or so, Muggs goes to his favorite watering hole in the valley, which once again, Muggs is where?
O'Grady's. Bring all the ladies. Yeah.
And
what's
you have
happening?
Nobody says that.
And you go in there with a hard-hitting question and then ask drunk people their answer. What was the question this week?
Absolutely. Well, about a month ago, you guys had the phone topic of what you would do or what you would change if you ruled the world. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the craziness going on in the political climate right now, I wanted to get somebody who was ready and willing to make a change. So I decided to go out once again to O'Grady's and find that out.
All right. Mine, of course, was stopping autoplay videos on the internet. That's what I was going to do. Let's see if the people you talked to had ideas as good as that one.
All right. Alex, a.k.a. Russian,
How drunk are you, Muggs?
Yeah, I went from 0 to 60 in about 5 minutes, right when I got in the door. Everybody just starts handing me drinks. I can't turn it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Keep doing what you're doing, Seth.
What would you do? What would be the one thing you would do if you ruled the world?
If I ruled the world, you know, there's not a lot left to do. I guess I gotta move on to Mars.
Esther.
Wait. That was his answer, by the way. Huh. Yeah. All the problems on Earth are all solved.
It was too hard for me to figure out, so I just kept on moving on.
Okay, fine.
Esther, what would be the one thing you would do if you ruled the world?
Adopt all the dogs and just release them on like 10 acres of land.
That doesn't seem like enough.
No. I feel like they're going to be real crowded.
And who's going to feed them? I should have followed up.
I mean, aren't there millions of dogs?
Yes.
I have a lot of follow-up questions for O'Grady.
What's your favorite dog?
A Great Dane. It's like a mini pony.
Yes, she needs
one. Can I ride your mini pony?
Oh. Whoa, hold on.
Mom, wait, what?
Was I a little too forward?
Can I ride your mini pony?
Okay, it sounds
does
like
she have a mini pony?
Maybe.
Or like do you want to F a dog?
Well, no.
She said, of course you can.
Yes.
Wow, all right.
Bugs, you're in.
I would make sure that every kid alive had a mom and dad.
Jeez.
I really would. That would be it.
You're a good man, Ray. A lot of good, great people in O'Grady's tonight.
This is a very thoughtful crowd there that night, by the way.
It was very touching.
I also have a follow-up question for that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is it our parents that we had that have passed and he brings them back, or do we get new parents?
Because technically we all do have a mom
That's
and
what
dad.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. Sounds like some follow-ups are in order.
Uh-huh. If I ruled the world, I think I would legalize drugs. Can I give you the reason, though? Please.
The reason is I think that when, you know, people should be convicted for their crimes, not for what they're on. And I think we waste a lot of money on people being in prison for being on drugs. You know what I mean? When they really need help.
It'd be sort of like what they do in Amsterdam. And that seems to have worked out for that country, right?
Okay, Muggs, Amsterdam's not a country.
Oh, yeah, it's a city.
But that was Judge Kavanaugh, right? That you were talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
Muggs, do you know what country Amsterdam is in?
Yes, Denmark.
Ha ha!
He said it so confidently.
I was going to put $20 down that you couldn't name the country that Amsterdam is in. What country is Amsterdam in, Muggs?
Was it? I thought it was Denmark.
Of course you did. Because we're talking about Copenhagen, right?
Oh, man, I knew that.
No, what I'm saying is...
No.
Copenhagen is in Denmark. Oh. Amsterdam is in Holland.
Just not Copenhagen.
This is so good. This is really good.
I need to go back to school.
This is great. You know what? You know what? I don't think he's spending too much time in O'Grady's at all. I think he's doing the right amount.
Yep. Do we even have time to get back to the rest of it?
I don't know if you beat that.
Holy crap.
All right, let's do some more.
I mean, there's not a lot of criminal activity there.
Oh, man. Education free, healthcare free, and enough of these borders, man. Enough. We're all human.
North America is all one.
We're all human.
Human nature.
There is no religion. There is no right or wrong. There is no color. There's nothing. Just go about yourself.
Just go about yourself. Yeah. By the way, I like the guy who says there is no right or wrong. What, are we living in the Purge?
Yeah, we're going to need RoboCop.
Seriously, Muggs, these people.
What would be the one thing you'd do if you rule the world?
World peace, but that includes... feeding people, clothing people, giving them food and water. Take care of people, man.
If I ruled the world, I would get rid of hate.
That's a very, very good thing to want to happen. I'm here with Danky by Danky. Huh? What would be the one thing you would change if you ruled the world?
The one thing I would change if I ruled the world? Health benefits.
For all. Wow, man, this is getting really deep in here tonight.
Puppies for everyone.
Puppies for everyone. Free puppies?
Yeah.
Free puppies, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. There it is. All right. Batgirl 2020.
That's the one we can all agree on. Thanks, Muggs.
You're welcome.
Now, why do you always assume that surprises are going to be bad?
What percentage of the time when we say surprise break for Bean? What percentage of the time is it fantastic?
Okay, I concede your point.
Yeah.
It's rare. But even though we have been telling you this is going to make your day, your week, your month, possibly your year.
There's a difference between you and Allie, though. The more you say that, the more I feel like I'm being set up.
No, you're going to be so happy. Allie, am I right?
Totally. And he's looking at me so skeptical right now.
No, he's still a skeptical.
I just know being the further he goes one direction, it's the opposite.
No, you are going to love this.
Okay.
Okay, it has been years in the making. You know, there are some white whales out there, some guests that you always dream about having on the show, and for whatever reason, circumstances don't allow that to happen. Years have gone by, Kevin, but we do have a mystery guest on the phone that's going to make your whole day.
Why is Ellie filming this?
I just want to see your reaction forever and ever.
Mystery guest, what do you have to offer our friend Kevin?
Is this
the hand farter?
Is this the hand farter?
Yes, it is!
How are you guys doing?
Jerry!
Oh my god, this is like Christmas! This is so awesome!
Jerry Phillips. From Troy, Michigan, is the manualist on YouTube. We affectionately referred him as the hand farter, and we've been playing his songs for years on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Didn't we try to track him down a bunch
for
of different...
years?
Yeah.
For years. So what happened, Jerry? How come our requests fell on deaf ears all the previous years that we've tried to get you on the show?
Well, no one ever really got a hold of me, number one.
Okay,
and,
but other
number
than
two,
that...
He's like, I'm not psychic.
Right. So... somebody got a hold of me and said that you were looking for me.
Uh-huh.
And so I made a phone call, and here I am.
That's
and here
so
you are.
Bizarre.
Well, there's that 6-year time delay to Michigan, you know. that was.
I guess, I mean, we do play this song all the time. I mean, it's really a tour de force. I wanted to have you open Acoustic Christmas, play it on April Foolish, just something.
anything you want, because I owe you guys. Big time. You're the ones who get me on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, is that a fact? Really? So we put you in touch with Jimmy Kimmel. That's amazing. And you performed on his show?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that must have been a blast.
Okay, wait.
I feel like you could have gotten a hold of him through Jimmy.
Hold on. When was that? When did you go on Jimmy's show?
August 31st of 2007.
Oh, it's only 11 years ago.
I was thinking we should have noticed, but no, maybe not.
So, Jerry, we're so...
Right? How should I feel?
We're so fascinated. How did it all start? How did you become the world's greatest hand farter?
Well, I was 9 years old, and a photographer at a party, to keep us kids quiet, made one noise, which was... And everybody tried, and I was the only one who could do it. And within a few weeks,
all
I got
notes. All of a sudden, you're a local hero.
So I gotcha. Now, you know, you're talking about 40 years now.
Wow.
Almost 50 years. What am I thinking?
Wow. That's amazing.
Now, and I was nine, so 49 years.
How many songs do you know, Jerry?
Any song, period.
What? Oh, come on.
I mean, only got 172 videos on YouTube of the hardest music.
By the way,
really hard music.
Jerry's not lying. Listen to this. Eye of the Tiger, Take on Me, Sweet Child of Mine, Stairway to Heaven. I mean, you just go Hot Butter, Popcorn. You just go on and on and on. Now, is this something you do for fun in your off time or only when you're called upon to perform?
Well, I don't really go out and do it anymore. Like at the bars when I was a kid, I mean, I was 16 years old and I started playing and they brought me up when I was 16. So
trying to like a fake ID guy in there. Just
I'm just here for the farts. have you ever been able to make any money off of it as a performer? Have people hired
I traveled the world for a good amount of time. I went to Australia and Japan and Argentina and Europe a bunch of times.
We're so bad at tracking people down.
I have TV commercials. I was up for best commercial of the year, for 2007 or 8. And, just a lot of things.
Ever go on America's Got Talent?
No.
Why not? That would be perfect for you.
He already has a career beat. He doesn't need that.
They don't like that kind of thing, as you can see. If anybody who's ever tried, they won't give you a chance. So,
That's heartbreaking. They are hand farter discrimination. That is un-American, as far as I'm concerned. So, in your real life there in Troy, what do you do, Jerry?
We have a store, a sporting goods store.
Okay, sporting goods store. And do you sometimes entertain the customers when they're in there?
People come in because they know they've seen me on YouTube and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they say, I just wanted to stop by to say I really like your stuff. And
what's the big request? What's the number one request?
Oh, any song that comes to their head. I mean, I can play any song there is.
So Brick House, as long as Commodores, go.
Commodores?
Brick House.
Brick House, can you do that one, Jerry?
Yep.
Go.
This is the best thing that's ever happened.
Well, Jerry, now that we have a phone number on you, would it be possible?
How bad are we? The guy put up 172 videos.
I know.
Toured the world.
Yes.
Was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
And we couldn't find
it. Right.
Unreal. Wow.
That's the level of quality on this program. would it be possible for you down the road, if we were to figure out a way to coordinate it with your schedule, to have you come out and perform at one of our events? Is that something you'd be interested in, Jerry?
Sure, I would.
I'm sorry?
Sure, I would.
Okay.
Okay, right. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, how was that for a surprise,
that's
Kevin? Did we oversell it?
That's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I sense that Kevin has a bunch of your songs in his car that he listens to driving back and forth to work, Jerry. That's how much of a fan he is. So this is a very big deal for him.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm honored.
All right. We're going to get you on one of our shows. I'll tell you that now.
That's great.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much for getting back to us in a timely fashion. We very much enjoyed talking to you. And we'll see you again soon. All right, man?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, the manualist.
Wow, that's the dude.
How do you feel? Welcome.
Wow.
Yeah. Life-changing.
Life-changing. Yeah.
What do I do now? You've already peaked.
This is DJ Omar Khan radio that you're about to hear.
Do you have anything else that you're weighing? Maybe I have something else that I could use.
No, these are the stories. Okay. This is the thing for today.
Okay.
I think one story you'll be pleased with. The other will just, if it affects you the same way it affects me, you'll just be confused by it.
All right.
This one, story number one, is in East Granby. Police credit a motion-activated camera with helping them capture a suspect in three cases of feces being found in the middle of a cul-de-sac. Yes, this is a serial pooper who has been caught and identified, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
all right.
A warrant was issued, and Holly Malone, 43, who thought it would be a lady...
Not me.
Zero people?
Holly Malone, 43, of Simsbury, was taken into custody after an unrelated traffic stop connected her to the vehicle in the video. She was charged with a breach of peace and creating hazardous conditions. I was wondering what they charge you with. I mean, I was wondering, is it just littering? I mean, what? It's apparently creating hazardous conditions.
But was it in the street? Maybe that's
why? In the middle of a cul-de-sac,
yeah, so maybe if cars were trying to avoid it, they would consider that. I don't know.
Or maybe it's just the toxic nature of it.
Sure.
I don't know how they would classify that. She was released on bond, is scheduled to be arraigned on March 1st. By the way, how's that conversation go with her friends and family? Yeah, I got to go to court. Oh, really? What for, Holly? Well.
Right. And then she says it, and then their friends go, again?
Police said her reason was that she could not make it to her destination or to the bathroom. There were three separate incidents of serial pooping found in the roadway at Kirkstone Drive on November 7th and November 16th. So then they put up a motion-activated camera that was installed, and on December 5th, it recorded the suspect's vehicle and another poop incident. Police described the street as being undeveloped. That's interesting. I just noticed that. I wonder if that means she kind of drove out of her way to look for a place where it was likely she could get out of her car and not be seen by residents, perhaps.
That makes sense.
Anyway, she was identified and admitted her involvement with the incident. She told them that she is, ready, Allie, lactose intolerant.
Oh, sweet spirit.
And sometimes is, quote, stupid and doesn't avoid dairy.
Yeah, I get everything about this woman.
For her actions. Yeah.
You do, except for her
cul-de-sac pooping. Uh-huh.
Sure, except for that.
So sometimes you just go, look, I know this is going to wreak havoc on my system, but I really, really feel like a pizza.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have a pizza. I'm just going to deal with the consequences.
Worth it.
And is there any health detriment to that experience? I mean, it's unpleasant, but does it hurt you at all?
I mean, I can't imagine your body being put through something like that you're allergic to. It can't be good. Over time,
I mean,
if you keep doing it.
A positive.
It's not ideal.
But it's not the type of thing, if you did repeatedly, that would land you in the hospital or make you like super sick, or it's not dangerous, right?
It might be. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't know anything about lactose intolerance. And is that something you're born with? It's your whole life, or do you develop it later in life?
I don't have that answer, but I don't believe that I could have my mother's breast milk.
Wow. So from the beginning.
So.
Deep
How's
dive
that?
On this
Good
one.
Good morning.
Deep dive. Hey. I'm fascinated.
I didn't latch All on right. either. And
that explains a lot of commitment issues, doesn't it? And this one, part two of DJ Obercod's Poop Radio Tribute is I can't and I won't help here. This is out of the UK, a suspected drug dealer on a record-breaking poop strike is now going into his 29th day without pooping. Short version of this story is he was arrested with drugs on him and was charged with the intent to supply Class A drugs, so he swallowed them.
Right.
And they said, well, we're going to have that evidence as soon as nature takes its course. This article suggests, no, it actually says outright, he has been in jail for 29 days without poop.
How is that humanly possible?
I don't know.
My question, Kevin, even better, is how is that humanly possible? How are they in their fifth week of the Essex police waiting for him? And can't you give somebody something that will make it beyond their control to poop?
How is that possible for humans?
Yes.
What I would ask, though, is how is that humanly possible?
That's a great question, Allie. It does seem like this would kill you. Like the toxins in your body after that amount of time, I feel like would kill you.
Guys, I don't think this is possible.
Really?
This article suggests, by the way, and again, this is part of my utter confusion with the piece, is that he is in control of what he's eating, and it sounds like his mom is bringing him food.
What?
So he is eating Frosty's cereal bar, he is eating fish, he's eating fruits and vegetables. Again, why isn't the jail regulating strongly what's going in so that they have better control out of what's going out? So there's only so much, so long you can hang on, says a doctor from the Primary Care Society of Gastroenterology. You won't get a devastating buildup of toxins that can poison the body in such a short span of time. You're just going to get a lot of uncomfortable stretching of intestinal tubes. It's an acute situation, not chronic, but ultimately things will move through the bowel and it will empty itself.
But is he smart in that the drugs will also work themselves through his system?
That's a great question.
And then when he poops, he's clean.
In other words, if he just absorbs them right into his system, he'll test positive for drugs, but there won't be whatever the bulk evidence was they were looking for to suggest that he was trying to sell it.
Exactly.
The Essex Police, by the way, on their social media has Poo Watch as a hashtag to keep us all updated about any sudden movements.
Do we have to follow that?
We don't.
Okay.
We don't. We can forget we ever heard this story and we can move on. But I had the 1-2 punch of those stories and I said it's too good to not bring them to you.
I pooped my pants.
Okay, I know it's not Christmas time, but I just randomly got a craving for some fruitcake. Can you play some
fruitcake? Yeah. All right.
What you making? Fruitcake.
I mean, come on. It's after Thanksgiving, right?
Right. I'm down with this song.
Little Fred Schneider, little fruitcake. Hit it, Steve.
What you making? Fruitcake! What you baking? Fruitcake! Candy cherries, red dye number 2. Green cherries, green one too. It's fruitcake! It's fruitcake!
Worst best song ever.
Pecans or walnuts. Citrus peel.
Okay, got it so far.
Lots of stuff.
Oh, wait.
Add what you feel.
No.
Lots of stuff.
I can add what I feel?
No, sir.
Definitely not you, Omar. DJ Omar Khan is in here. He's got the Christmas spirit.
Merry
How are
Christmas.
You?
Oh? I'm good. I'm great. How are you guys?
I understand you were off. You were off last week, and you did a little outside decorating at the Khan Mansion.
I did, and man. I have a problem, guys.
Really?
Yeah. So,
is this an intervention?
I'm kind of one of these guys who I started about 4 years ago to try to, you know, get my Christmas decorations on, you know, and popping. And I've always strived for that old school look where you have the incandescent lighting and it has this warm glow to it and it's super bright, super classy look, right?
Right.
And I couldn't get it from the LED lighting. And this is when I was a novice, I just bought some stuff and I threw it on my house.
Yeah.
And I was like so disappointed in myself. I was like, man, what am I doing with my life, right?
Right.
And so the second year, I did a little bit of research, and we're like, okay, you got to get the C9s, which the C9s are the bigger bulbs, and then you can't go wrong with the C9s, LEDs, it'll do the trick.
Now, where are you getting your information from?
Online, YouTube videos.
I go
talk to the guy at Lowe's. So I get these, and I put them on, and it takes a lot of work because per light, I have to put a clip on. Because
each one.
I don't do my stuff all willy-nilly. It's got to be straight, and it's got to be spaced out right. So
you're Clark Griswold
at this point. And I don't get the look I'm looking for, guys, because the LED cannot provide that look, okay?
But so that's why you went to the...
It just doesn't work. It just doesn't happen, guys, okay?
So meaning then, it's not enough. It's not bright enough?
Is it's not bright enough.
You
and
want
it
your house
have,
to be seen from space?
Well, not only that, but it also has this warm feel to it. I don't know how to explain it, except it has
your
this
kids
warm
say,
feel
Daddy,
to it.
Daddy, I don't know. The house doesn't look very good.
They talk trash,
the
man.
The neighbors were
little bastards. Hey, good morning.
Actually, Kevin,
if you guys are listening.
Kevin brings up a good point, Omar, that I want to ask as a background for this story.
Yeah.
Is your neighborhood one where there are a lot of decorations around and it gets a little bit competitive?
It's not like a candy cane lane where every house does it,
right.
but yeah, it does get competitive for sure.
For
you know?
Other people?
Oh, yeah.
Or
totally.
Just you? Have you talked
probably
to the other
people? Well, they're not going by and saying, oh, that house sucks like I am.
So this is all a you problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Are you getting, because I am a fan of the C9s.
Okay.
Are you getting the smooth or the opaque?
Good question. So this year,
right.
Allie, I go, so the smooths weren't working out.
See,
because
that's
they had,
the problem.
They had a little blue tint to them.
Exactly.
Okay? So I tell the guy at Lowe's, I tells him, hey, man, I want this like warm glow deal. He's all, dude, you got to go with these.
Right.
You can't go wrong with these. These are the ones you are looking for.
OG old school.
Yes.
Yes.
It's still LED, though. So
right. Poor guy at Lowe's every time he sees Omar pulling the parking lot.
Somebody else talk to Omar.
So I can connect a bunch of them, right?
Okay.
All right, sweet. So put them on the roof line, and I connect, I think it was like five different strands on there. I'm on there, you know? So, but I only do the bottom roof line because I'm not going to do the top. I want to see how it looks.
Sure.
It has the same stupid blue tent.
Oh,
tint.
No.
So then I go, and I talk to the guy at Lowe's. I says, dude, how did you steer me wrong? He's just like, well, let's plug these in. And then he plugs in the incandescent ones and the other ones. There's no LED that's going to give me the look that I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to go in the incandescent ones, plug them in. They look awesome. So this is my first year where I'm doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm like living my best life right now.
Right.
Sure. You know, it's like I go outside, I look at my house, and I don't want to barf. Okay?
Okay.
However, with that said, I also went to Home Depot, and this is why I might need the intervention here, is I went into Home Depot, mm-hmm. and I have these little 10-inch candy canes, you know, and I do a little decoration in there.
Please.
And I could never find the 27-inch ones.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to order them online, and they're always sold out. And then I went to my Home Depot, and it had 25 of these boxes.
Whoa.
And I'm like, dude, jackpot.
Yeah, because you could do a little walkway.
Yes. So my whole driveway is just a bunch of candy canes.
Oh, I love it so much, Omar.
And I bought so many, I even did the neighbors.
Oh, because, you did
yeah,
it.
I was like, here you go. Great. Merry Christmas.
I love it.
So at the end of
listen
everything.
Listen to Allie guessing every detail before it comes up.
So. At the end of this Christmas season, I just looked this up on my Amex, has a little thing where you can see how much you spend.
Uh-huh.
Because when my wife loves going shopping with me during Christmas, mm-hmm. because money's no object with
sure.
me. Like I'm a Merry Christmas alcoholic, you know what I mean? I'm a Christmas-holic.
So it doesn't matter how much, it's not that you have endless money.
I don't even
it's
look at the total.
You don't even look.
I don't even look. I'm like slapping it down. Exactly. So this season alone, within like 2 days, almost about $1,000 in Christmas decorations.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, kids. Daddy's tapped. No gifts.
Yeah, but my house looks amazing.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Has one person come over and knocked on your door and said, you know what, dude? Nailed it.
Not yet.
But it's early. Like
it's early in the season. Yeah. They're going to come. But, oh, my God. You know what did happen the other day? Last night, a car did the slow roll.
Oh, sure.
Check it out.
I am proud of you.
Thank you very much, Allie. I appreciate it.
Your passes for San Diego's Comic-Con at the Convention Center this weekend, coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Hey, Jensen Karp.
Oh, hey, friends.
Current, I guess, Kevin Bean hip-hop correspondent,
yep.
Gallery owner, author, podcaster, writer, producer. He does it all. Rapper, of course. Are you heading down to Comic-Con? That seems like it would be your scene.
No, that has too many people, but I appreciate you thinking that I don't have social anxiety. But, yeah.
I hear you on that, my friend.
I'll be there in spirit. You'll smell me amongst all the other nerds, but I won't be there.
You have been tweeting and podcasting about something that you are very fired up about lately, and I think this is going to split our audience in half. I really do think you're tearing us apart, Lisa. What's going on, Jensen?
I am here for one reason alone.
Okay.
And that reason is we need to stop these bird scooters.
Now, explain for people who haven't seen this what bird scooters are and the process by which you
yes. Here's the thing. There are three companies, but we're going to focus mostly on Bird. But there's Bird, Lime, and Spin. Number one, those sound like Miami clubs, which I'm already mad at. But two, these are like razor scooters, mm-hmm. basically, kind of two-wheel, one kind of skateboard with a stick, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And they have motorized engines, and they can go up to 15 miles per hour.
Ooh.
Now, you can rent them with a credit card and driver's license just by using an app. You pay $1 to get the rental, and then it's 15 cents per mile.
Okay.
That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it, guys?
Right, it's all great so far.
Yeah, if you want to look like a very cool Pee Wee Herman, I have a way for you to do it. It's called Bird. Now, here's a couple of the problems. One, you are not supposed to ride it on the sidewalk, which would mm-hmm. technically, mentally, be the easiest way. We'd be like, oh, that makes sense. I can get from A to B.
Sure.
No, you have to drive them in the streets.
Oh, good.
Ooh. That's a terrible idea. I've never looked on an LA street and said, you know what we need more of? Wheels. Like, no one's ever said that. Two, you need also, here's the other thing that's crazy. So you use it, then you just drop it anywhere.
So when you're done with it,
yes,
you literally just wherever you are, just drop it off.
You could just you could ride it. You could ride it, stop somewhere, and just throw it in the street.
Stop it!
Yeah, like literally, they don't give you any parameter as to where to drop it off. So you can be walking down Melrose or down Santa Monica Boulevard, all these different places, and there will just be littered scooters everywhere.
That's insane.
Well, I've seen pictures in China of what look like mountains of scooters in certain locations around their big cities.
Yes, and we all know that they don't have any sort of overpopulation right. issues mm-hmm. with bikes or scooters. I mean, clearly their roads must be very free and open, and that's something we should strive for.
But let me ask you a question. Yes. Have you ever ridden one?
I have ridden one.
It's pretty sweet.
What? What are you, 12?
Pretty sweet.
Well, this is Kevin.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's pretty sweet.
Listen,
there was three of them in front of the station today, so I had Ruben, our phone screener, we had him get the app, and so mm-hmm. I've been using it. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, you know what's sweet? Also putting streamers on the sides of your bike and just being like, ring, ring, and just driving around the city asking where your mom is.
Helmets, though. Shouldn't you have a helmet?
So Bird will send you a free helmet because you have to wear one. But that's also, I mean, like, is there a way to look less cool? Yeah, we got it for you. It's helmets. Also, like, this is all in line with what's going on in our nation. Like, the world is collapsing, and these Bird scooters are the locusts.
Are they?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Like,
wow.
These are swarming. These are the things that are the sign of the final apocalypse.
Wow, I didn't realize they were that bad.
Yeah.
Let me jump in and play devil's advocate for just a moment. Okay. I have not ridden a scooter, but I can imagine a scenario where I'm with my family and I'm in Santa Monica, say, and mm-hmm. I need to go 10 blocks and it's hot. And that's a long ass way to walk.
Yeah.
What's the downside of me jumping on a scooter, spending 8 minutes to get the 10 blocks, dropping it off, and going about my day? I'm not hurting anybody, right? As long as I'm safe, I don't run into somebody.
I mean, listen.
How am I a bad guy?
Just because you're not hurting somebody doesn't mean that I won't hate it. that is a guarantee. Two, if you're in Venice Beach or wherever you are and you're having a beautiful beach day, we got those weird rentals on tandem bikes or whatever it is. Like, I don't need them everywhere. Like, if we lessen them up, maybe I'll feel okay. But you can't go 10 feet on Beverly Boulevard right now. Right. Without seeing three lined up in a row, because that's the way they're dropped off after being charged. Like, this is just too much.
Does it seem like there's no plan whatsoever as far as distribution?
There's no plan for anything.
Just for anything.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any sort of plan for when you were done with it, that would also feel good. But instead, just drop it anywhere. Come into my house and drop it in front of my television.
But I'm saying that worked out in our favor this morning, as there were three right out in front.
I mean,
I was so excited.
Whose favor?
Mine.
I mean, listen, no one is dropping by K-Rock. You guys clearly are in the middle of a swamp. Everyone knows that.
Right?
No one is going to come over here to pick it up and then be like, you know what I need to do? I need to go over to that old Toys R Us. It's not even open. You guys aren't in the middle of a space. I mean, this is crazy. This makes no sense.
So it's dangerous and it's litter. That sounds like two of your complaints.
Yeah, two of them. I have many more. The other idea is people are like, oh, people who can't afford cars. You need to have a credit card. You need to have a driver's license.
Right.
Also, Bird is now being valued at over $2 billion, this company.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
They've become an actual lobbying company. Here in California, they are fighting to make it 20 miles per hour, because right now you can only go 15.
Let me tell you, going 15 is a little scary.
Yeah, they're saying to go 20. So you tell me which 16-year-old you want driving down Melrose going 20 miles per hour on a scooter.
Mm-mm. Right, and, but a person that's a good driver like me.
Yeah.
Listen, good. All good with, right?
I'd rather you have a big piece of metal driving down 405.
I'm confused as to how you get the helmet.
They send it to you.
Like in the mail?
You can ask for it. Yeah, it's like a free helmet.
You know you're going to use it a lot, you ask them to send you a helmet and then they mail it to you?
Yeah, the helmet's
That's
like
the strangest business proposition ever.
Right. Absolutely. The helmet's like a scarlet letter to show you're a virgin. You know what I mean? Like, I have an actual official Bird helmet. Love me. I don't know why. Yeah.
That's the voice of Jensen Karp here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the very controversial Bird scooters. We are inviting your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jennifer is ahead of the curve. She's already on the line from Sherman Oaks Line 2. Let's see what Jennifer has to say.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, guys, I loathe.
All right, but have you ridden one?
I have once.
And that didn't turn you around? What is your heart made out of stone?
It didn't.
What's your complaint? What's your complaint, Jen?
So, I work in Westwood, and I work in the medical community. Mm-hmm. And if I have one more college student zip by taking a selfie while riding a motorized scooter.
Sounds safe. Sounds safe.
Car accident and running into me. I'm going to have to punch someone in the face.
If you're taking a selfie on one of them, you should just combust. That's just that's too much too much douchery.
It should be law. Yeah.
The truth of that is I'm of torn mind there, because on one hand, I really hate it. And on the other, I feel like it's Darwinism at its best, too.
So the people who are taking selfies aren't going to be paying attention anyway, and they're going to just, you know, thin the herd.
It is the worst.
Gotcha.
Okay, let me ask you one more quick question, Jennifer, and thank you so much for listening and for calling. Do you have any animosity toward bicyclists? Is that the same for you, or is birds very different from bicycles?
I feel like bike riders can be slightly more aware, but there's some of those that can also be equally jerks. So it just depends more on how self-aware somebody is when using
okay. alternative. Okay, if you're counting on self-awareness, we got a real issue.
Yeah. Especially in L.A.
I was
going to
say, we're in Los Angeles, everyone.
All right, concerning. Great call. Thank you very much. 1-800-520-1067. We want you to weigh in on the bird scooters. You think we can find some people who love them, by the way?
I love them. I'm telling you right now. I'm standing right here. I love them.
I don't know if we'll find anyone now.
there may not be anybody out there.
I'm saying I love it.
I do want to give a suggestion to mm-hmm. everyone who's listening who hates them.
Okay.
On social media, I'm asking for something.
Okay.
Oh.
If you see them standing up in your area,
mm-hmm.
just take your social media, take a video, and just kick it over. Just walk over and knock them over. And if you can get a domino effect, that's like a dream.
Okay.
That's like a 10.
You get extra points.
That's like a 10 from the Russian judge.
Should there be a hashtag for you?
It's just hashtag scoot it. S-C-O-O-T-I-T. And you just go up and you just kick it. Or I'm not saying even damage it. Maybe you just bump into it. But the point is, they should be on the floor. They knock them down.
Okay.
That's it.
Right. You've given this a lot of thought. So 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on the bird scooters next on K-Rock.
All right. Just ahead of Incubus, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Christine, who is calling us from Marina Del Rey. Hi, Christine.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling in about the birds because my dog hates them. Therefore, I hate them, too.
Your dog hates bird scooters.
Yes. He is an 80-pound dog, and he tries to attack every single one that goes by.
That sounds like an owner issue to me.
No. I am not the only one. I see all the other dogs on their walks because they're always on the sidewalk. Going back to what you guys were saying, they're never on the road.
Okay, now let me ask, thank you very much for that. It's a great point. And I want to ask Jensen, because you've done the research on this.
Yes.
When you rent a bird scooter, they tell you you're not allowed to ride on the sidewalk, right?
Correct. They say you have to ride in a bike lane.
But there's no enforcement, obviously. Anyone can take it. They can ride it on a lawn if they want to. No one's there to stop them.
Yeah, they don't stop the bike. Yeah, absolutely.
What percentage of people do you think are taking them on the sidwalks?
I have only seen 100%. I have not seen anyone.
I would think
in
so,
streets.
Too, because going out in the streets, the worst possible idea.
Yeah, it's not Mario Kart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we can't just drive with cars. No, it would be completely unsafe.
This article, there's an article that's going around. I think it might be the LA Times. LA Times. It just has account of accident after accident.
Those are people who don't know how to ride.
People getting hit. Pedestrians getting hit on sidewalks and falling down and breaking their arms.
Well, they need
stuff.
To get out of the way.
You're the worst.
Got an excuse for everything.
By the way, I just realized bird rhymes with nerd. How did I not make that joke earlier?
Christine, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We're taking your calls on the bird scooters. 1-800-520-1067 after the Incubus on K-Rock. Give you some Comic-Con tickets in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, back to the topic, these bird scooters. Francisco writes in from the 323. Dear Kevin and Bean, I deliver in Marina Del Rey, and I see them all the time, but I hate that people drop them off in the most random places. In the alleys, they block emergency doorways from apartment complexes. They block gates so that when I have to deliver stuff, I have to constantly be moving around them. But they are fun.
Right!
No, come on.
Yes, right! He comes to the correct conclusion.
Oh, that is awful. So you could say the same thing about cigarettes, guys. Bad for you, but you look cool. You look like a Sam Jackson character.
All right, now this is interesting. San Francisco, let's go to Alyssa, line 2, please, L.A. San Francisco has been, am I right, Jensen, a little bit ahead of L.A.? Didn't they get them kind of before we did?
Well, Venice, actually, technically, I am first, but obviously because of Silicon Valley, yes, San Francisco's got them a lot, yeah.
Well, let's find out what may be coming our way. Alyssa, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Hey, not only do I just hate how they are just being piled up outside of my work,
mm-hmm.
But a while ago, before they became big here, my boyfriend who lives in San Francisco was telling me what was going on there. People were just getting so frustrated with them piling up on the streets that they were literally throwing them into the ocean.
Oh, nice.
Into the bay. They were being found in trees. They were being, like, dismantled and thrown off the bridge. It was such a huge problem that they banned
But Alyssa,
them.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ridden one?
Yeah. I have not.
Oh, no. So fun. You should try it.
Thank you for the call on that. Jensen, what happens if somebody destroys one of these scooters kind of on your watch?
I'm sure it's a personal liability that you could probably get in trouble for. But again, I'm not saying to put it in a tree or in a bay. I'm just saying hashtag scoot it and just kick it over, video it and kick it over and send it to us at Kevin and Bean. That's all. Right. Not a big deal.
Let's try Kevin, shaky name, line one, Temple City, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think he's we've turned him around. I think he now likes the bird scooters.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Talking about bird scooters.
So, I think it's stupid, but I think I'm going to load up like 50 to 100 of them in a pickup truck and just litter them on City Hall.
Not a bad idea.
Everyone feels.
You know what? That's hashtag scoot it. I'll accept.
Kevin, they probably don't even notice it. So,
Kevin, have you tried one?
I have not.
See? That's the issue right there.
All right. Let's go to Benny Line 6, Kevin. He's your people. He has tried it, and he legitimately loves it.
Right, because to try it is to love it, Bean. Hey, Benny.
Benny.
Yeah, me and my buddy were drinking one night and we found some and had a great time on the road.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised because he's super uncoordinated. Just had a blast. And the next morning I saw that the city of San Francisco was picking them all up and saying they were illegally parked everywhere.
Oh, is that right?
So just to so we keep score here.
No, clarify.
Everyone doesn't like it except for someone who just called it and says he loves drinking and driving with it.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely, Kevin. Kellen,
it's four wheels. It's two wheels. I don't know if it's a difference. They're
yeah,
really
drunk is better. No, you're right. You could do it drunk. Please, go into the bike lane.
Motorcycles, you can't.
Who said drunk? I said drinking. Come on.
Drinking, right. He didn't say drunk.
It's not a problem.
I don't want Benny on my side. Is that cool?
God. Honestly, I like the argument that you're saying, like, oh, it's bad, but have you tried it?
Right.
Also, you know what's like that also? Heroin. I'm sure heroin is great. I'm not going to try it to know.
Jensen, can you get, is this just as an aside, can you make money by charging these bird scooters?
I mean, I don't want to really praise it, but I guess I have to. It's like real life Pokemon in a sense that at the end of the day, when they're dropped off on Melrose or whatever in front of K-Rock, you can then pick them up and then take them home and charge them and get paid to charge them. So basically you use the app, they tell you where there are uncharged bikes, and then you pick them up, take them home, take three at a time basically, and then put them back out into the wild together at designated spaces, and they just put money into your account. And that they use terrible puns like leave it at a nest or go bird hunting, which I also hate puns.
Oh, agreed.
Oh, no, Judson hates puns.
Oh, agreed.
I mean, I like puns. I like puns, but not when it involves my safety and a drunk guy being like, I like these scooters.
All right, I can see you're undecided. We're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for the calls. Jensen, before we say goodbye to you, we're going to see some of your handiwork on the TV tonight.
That's right. The ESPYs, the only the funny parts I wrote tonight. It's 8 p.m. on ABC. You'll see Danica Patrick hosting. I wrote all the funny stuff.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in. Great to see you again.
Hashtag scoot it. Kick them over. Video it. Send it to me.
Let's clear the lines right now. Kevin, let's give away some tickets for Comic-Con, shall we?
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We did title fight earlier in the week with titles of comic book movies, and we had two contestants. One of them got two correct, and the other one got one correct.
Right.
And they were the worst contestants that we may have ever had in any contest ever for anything.
And Dave wasn't much better
either,
by the
way,
as one of the clue givers.
Correct. So we're going to try it again. You call
a
now.
Do-over.
1-800-520-1067, and we will do Title Fight coming up next for Comic-Con Pack. Look, we talk a lot here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we try to make a lot of jokes. We do our best. There are times when we fall short. And it's time now to answer for that.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
I mean, there aren't a lot of times in life where you get the opportunity for a do-over, where you could actually revisit the scene of the crime and say, you know what? I take it back. I'm not going to stand by that. I wish that hadn't happened. Everybody was right to hate it on me.
Crime one was Allie.
Oh.
What a surprise.
People are still going to do it. Just a question of where you're going to make them park, I guess.
Way to go against the man.
Right?
Well,
he's
an outlaw.
He doesn't play by your rules.
It's one of the most famous scenes in America, though.
Right.
You know, those four Victorian houses next to each other with the cityscape behind. I mean, it's a beautiful picture to take, and people are still going to want to do it.
They should cut it out.
Oh, she's just making a bad joke.
I'm sorry, you guys. I've had so much coffee.
Just can't.
I apologize.
Would you like to take that back?
Okay, what was that?
We were talking about buying the house, full house, house.
The full house.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah, sorry, I should have said that before. I was like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and... Because they should cut it out. They weren't allowed to park there, and I said they should just cut it out.
Right, but you didn't say it that way. You just said they should cut it out.
Because I said it that way for those that were in the know to know. I didn't want to make it overt is what I did.
Sounds like you're defending it.
I'm defending it.
Would you like to take that back?
Now that I know what it is.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm gonna keep it.
You're going to keep that one?
Yeah, because it wasn't overt, so you would be like, come on, Allie.
I am surprised and disappointed.
Okay. All right. Apologies.
All right. Still talking about the house later that day. Mm-hmm. People that are buying the full house.
Does it make me a bad person that I thought it would be funny if I owned that house mm-hmm. and people were taking pictures all the time if I left the curtains open and just walked by nude a bunch?
Oh, no. That'd okay. be amazing. That Absolutely. Be amazing. Right?
It would be on them. I mean,
right?
They're, I mean, you're in your own house.
My house. Right?
Exactly.
What if you just pointed and you're like, you got it, dude. Sorry. Full house references right now, you guys. What's happening?
Cut it out.
Kevin bringing the heat.
Would you like to take that back?
I mean, just right, so that's, purely for the alley-oop to Kevin.
That's
I'm
Allie
keeping
me.
It.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my thing.
Yeah.
I hated that joke uh-huh. when you made it earlier
right.
in the day.
Right.
Then I stole it
yeah.
and tried to make it my own.
Yes.
I'm taking that the hell back.
Oh, all right. Then I will too.
Okay, good.
Would you like to take that back?
So we're both a yes on that.
Okay.
All right. We're still in San Diego for Comic-Con. We're interviewing the guy who started a charity to help struggling comic book artists. Right. And they were having an event. They were having an event, and he was telling us all about it.
People are coming down tonight. Stone Brewing. They're headquartered here in San Diego. They're having an amazing event tonight called HopCon.
Yeah, I'm listening.
There
I'm
you
in.
Go. There you go.
You got
they
me.
Have a special beer they do once a year called Woot Stout. And every year, we have an artist draw a new label for the Woot Stout.
Woot Stout beer ain't nothing to F with.
We see what you did there, Ella.
Thank you. So, thank you. One man
who
said
from
yes.
the crowd said yes.
Oh,
put her in
Dave.
The files.
Oh.
Put her in the file.
That's nonsense.
Would you like to take that back?
All right. Someone in the crowd went yes, but it was just
it
Dave.
It was
going
Dave. Out. So Dave is in here to answer for his crimes as well. First of all, Allie.
Would you like to take that back?
There couldn't be anyone that would have gotten that reference less than the man we were talking to just then.
Correct.
Which made it so beautiful for me. I'm not taking that back. Mm-mm.
All right, what about the guy in the crowd that went, yes!
That was Dave.
Come on! What about that guy?
I'm in the file just for agreeing with the joke?
Yes, because it's the joke in question.
But that joke was so awesome. Hell no, I'm not taking that back.
Thank you, Dave.
No way!
You're not taking it back.
Not even a little bit.
Thank you.
All right, Bean is up next. We were talking to Doto about his woman in Bangkok, and Bean just could not wait.
I need your guys' advice, man. On October 15th, I'm going to Bangkok for 2 weeks. Then
Bangkok Oriental City?
No, Bang Thailand.
Would you like to take that back?
I mean, Bean, for God's sakes. You're just like a battering ram.
Wait
for a spot or something. Bangkok Oriental City? I heard that in the song once.
By the way, there's a lot of controversy that the lyric is actually Oriental setting as well.
Who
so
cares?
I think I failed on both counts. I apologize to Doto. I apologize right. to the show. And I apologize to America.
Okay,
yes, I take it back.
Wow, oh. Bean took one back. How about
okay.
that? All right, here's Bean again.
Oh.
We were talking to a guy about taking a woman home to his house and the problems that he had.
Pretty much it was a first date. And my chick and I went back to my house. We had a little bit of whiskey.
After you took the whiskey drink, did you also take a vodka drink?
Okay. All right.
Did you drink a lager drink?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
A cider drink?
Yeah, we get it. Thank you for calling.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, Bean, I loved it then, and I love it now.
Would you like to take that back?
In the brain. We're going to have to ask Allie to take back her love of this.
But, I mean, how often do you get a setup like that where the guy started with a whiskey drink?
Would you like to take that back?
I think I gotta stand by that one.
Amen.
Sorry, I don't think I could take that.
I'm going to weigh in with this. Had you stopped with the first one, it would have you would have had to take it back. But you did all four.
Okay.
So props for that.
It came back around.
Okay. Props for that.
You'll allow it. Okay, great.
All right. Let's go to Jensen Karp on the phone. Hey, Jensen.
Oh, hi, friends.
Hey, welcome to Would You Like to Take That Back?
I mean, I don't know if to say thank you or just slightly run away.
So here's the conversation, and then we'll have Jensen respond.
Jensen, in your long, long career, have you had much interaction with Mr. Wahlberg?
Oh, Wahlberg and I have had no interaction. I feel like in the white rap world, I feel like you would want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've never had any good vibrations. No.
Would you like to take that back?
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm sorry, what, Bean?
I said, ooh, wow.
Jensen, how do you feel hearing that back?
Here's the thing. I had never woken up at 4:30 before.
Oh, come on now.
A new hour for me. Yeah, I'll take it back.
Okay.
Okay, good.
That's the right call, Jensen.
I will tell you this, Kevin, about yes. our friend Jensen Karp that filled in when you were gone.
Uh-huh.
He had a lot of them. He was bringing
the
puns.
Oh, no, he's terrific. Oh, no.
He was bringing the puns in a way that Bean and I loved to its core.
No.
And we kept saying, Kevin's going to kill you.
I hate puns. But I only hate.
I like to think when the cat's away, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we had to get it all out while you were gone.
Agreed.
A new hour, a new job for me. I have very little regrets. But most of the Mark Wahlberg interview falls into something I would take back in seconds.
Okay, well, you guys were not on the same page in that interview, I'll tell you that.
No, we were not pals. I'll even say we would never make a very funky bunch.
Oh, Jensen.
He can't stop
would you like to take that back?
Goodbye,
I'll
sir.
Take back that.
Okay, bye now. And finally, me.
Oh.
What animal walked into her kitchen and bit her while the 77-year-old lady was reading the newspaper?
A squirrel.
Got to be a raccoon.
Both reasonable guesses. This time around, though, it was a fox.
Fox.
She said, I stood up. I was screaming. I was trying to shake it off my hand, but it was holding on. I was looking at its beady eyes and its sharp teeth. When it eventually did let go, I was able to shoo it outside.
What did the fox say?
Oh! Yes! I don't need it.
What did the fox say?
Would you like to take that back?
Does it bother you how much Bean and I immediately loved it?
No, I... here's why.
Okay.
What do you mean, Dave?
Listen, you gave Bean crap for shoehorning his joke in.
No, battering ram.
Yeah,
hold on. He didn't pick a spot.
He just heard
the word and just. What do you mean?
Oh,
neither
no,
did
he
I.
Waited.
I had that pun waiting for the entire story.
I waited.
Yeah.
Slipped it in. That was genius.
That
I'm not taking that back ever. I love me.
The great comedian and roastmaster general Jeff Ross joins us in studio in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know his roast battle show comes back officially tonight for the third season on Comedy Central. They had a little bit of a preview on Sunday night, but that's a great show.
Agreed.
Jeff with Nikki Glaser and Anthony Jeselnik, so funny. So Jeff will be joining us in studio coming up. First, though, Allie, you saw something on social media the other day that I think is worth a conversation.
Yeah, somebody had tweeted, what are some movie lines that you incorporate into everyday talk? Like, you just let them flow like it's just something you would normally say. And unless people know that quote, they'll just think you're having a regular conversation. So I started thinking about a quote that I say all the time because it's perfect and I use it constantly. It's from a movie called Dumb and Dumber, and it comes up often. Here it is.
I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just least you can do is level with me. Where are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance. And you have to do it like that and kind of look at the person and shake your head slowly. It just works. It works.
Do you think... I like that, by the way. Very effective. Do you think, though, that there are some movie lines that have become, just like pickup lines we were talking about yesterday, that have become so too famous, too overused, that it's just a cliche? Like, if somebody walks out to go to another room and they say, I'll be back. No one needs that, right?
That's dumb. But
that's dumb, right?
But let's hear your accent again.
Yeah.
I can't really do it.
But then if you walk into the same room and you say, this rug really ties the room together, I immediately love you because you love Big Lebowski.
So. Right. How about if I see you and I go, smoking?
Okay, again, no. These are all like, no, I guess it does depend really on the movie and the time.
On the movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
and the delivery.
Sure.
Smoking.
Awful.
I guess what my point is, you know, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Most people have not even seen the movie, but that's something that's just in the language,
right,
you know, for the last 80 years. And at this point, I don't, if somebody says that, it doesn't seem at all creative. It doesn't seem at all interesting. It's just boring. You know what I mean? But let's take a look, Kevin, at some of the other ones that are lines that people really use in real life from movies.
I use Talladega Nights for almost everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's one of my favorite movies, especially when he thinks he's on fire.
Mr. Biden, come on down here. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise.
So if you find yourself in a sticky situation, Kevin, that's when you scream out to the universe.
I mean, I don't like sticky, but
I don't like any of this.
By the way, if you have one you use in your real life, we'll include a couple of phone calls if you want at 1-800-520-1067. There was a movie, here's mine. There was a movie years ago, I don't know, about 15 years ago, called State and Maine. Again, nobody ever saw it. I think Alec Baldwin was in it. Clark Gregg was in it. It was a real funny movie. But there's a scene in the movie where Alec Baldwin is in a serious car accident. The car flips over in the middle of an intersection. He's not hurt. He steps out of the vehicle. He dusts himself off and says,
"So that happened."
I mean, it's so understated.
Yeah.
But anytime something like super crazy happens in front of me, that's the first thing that I think is, so that happened.
Yeah.
And I have found that to be very useful.
Wow, that's great because I've heard that from you guys.
Yeah, we say it a lot.
So that's where.
And you never knew where it was from?
I never knew it was from.
Yeah. Didn't he also have like an underage girl in the car and then he said run? She had to run away.
Yeah, I do think there was
a
lot
craziness.
Going on. It was a bad situation. All right, let me hear a couple more.
All right, what do we have? Mallrats?
Yeah, that's mine. You know, when my friends want to do something, I like to be encouraging.
So yeah, that's what you're known for.
No, for real.
Right?
So I give them this quote.
Do it, Doug!
Oh, they look at me and go, my name's not Doug. I'm like, oh, you idiots. You've never seen Mallrats. It's the best.
Huh.
Chip, you're right?
So I like Kevin, I also quote a Will Ferrell movie every day, Step Brothers.
Mm.
And the one I quote all the time is when Dale Dobrik and Brennan are excited about making bunk beds.
So many aerobics in here. So many activities.
So much room for activities.
There's so much room for activities. They made a bunk bed.
I think Step Brothers is underrated.
Oh, I think it's
that
one of
great.
His best.
It's a classic.
For sure. One of both
can
their
we,
best.
Can I get a ruling on there's no excuse or reason for anyone to, in any situation to ever say, show me the money, right?
Never.
Right.
Oh, no. I think that's some of these are sort of lesser known lines.
Right.
That's too big.
I think we all say this one a lot. A movie called Sandlot. I think every single one of us in this room has said this in the past week.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Absolutely. Right.
Allie, tell me you saw the photo of one of the stars of Sandlot the other day.
Unbelievable. The star that basically is the reason for that quote. He took a picture with a kid who was wearing him on the shirt, and the kid had no idea who he was. So sad.
He's wearing a You're Killing Me Smalls t-shirt, getting his picture taken with the star of The Sandlot as a grown-up man, obviously.
Amazing.
Had no idea who he was. All right. Phones are blowing up, you guys. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Dewey? He's in Riverside Line 1, please. This is going to be interesting to hear how people work these into their real life from movie quotes.
Hey, Dewey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, my quote is, I haven't been having the best of luck with the ladies lately, so my quote's been, I gave her my heart and she gave me a pin.
So at the end of a bad date, that's what you're muttering to yourself as you drive home alone.
Yes.
Which is happening more and more.
Exactly. Good luck, Dewey. I think the name Dewey may be part of the problem. There, by the way.
I didn't want to say it.
Bellflower Live 2, let's say hi to Wendy. She
yes.
has got a quote-alicious movie, one of my favorites.
Hey, Wendy.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey.
You don't even go here from Mean Girls.
All the time. All the time.
Or you can't sit with us.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's thank beautiful. You, Wendy. Appreciate it. Let's go to line 3, Hollywood. This is going to be Gasper on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Gasper.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I use this one quite a bit from the movie Airplane back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I take coffee. I take it black, just like my men.
Amen.
Gasper, surely you can't be serious.
yeah, that one too, and it throws everybody off when I say, because they look at me like, what did you just say?
Yeah,
and then
that
I have
one
to repeat it and
yeah.
explain it.
Yeah, don't repeat it and mm-hmm. explain it, though.
That's... That one hasn't aged as well, I think, in the modern
absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Airplane is one of the most quotable movies.
Possible.
Yeah, agree.
All right. Thank you for the call, Gasper. Appreciate that. Wow, look at all these, by the way. All right, let's go to Ryan, line 8. I need a ruling on this one, you guys.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what it do? What it do?
What it do to you? Huntington Beach, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I always say, it's not a tumor.
Okay.
No.
When do you use that?
Unless you're an oncologist and you're delivering good news.
Every time I have a headache. Every time I have a headache.
Okay.
Who are you talking to, yourself?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, Ryan.
Well,
wow.
It sounds like it might be a tumor.
That's just sad.
Thank you for calling. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:06.
Or whatever the hell time it is.
You know.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that our next guest who's in the studio right now, Bert Kreischer, is the most famous person that has ever come out of the state of Wyoming, ladies and gentlemen. The most famous person from Wyoming ever.
Is that, you brought that up in research for this?
Yes. Okay. Am I wrong, Bert?
Yes, entirely. I've never even been to Wyoming.
But it says here that you were born in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Is that Wikipedia?
Were
I don't
you
know. Our sister producer Christine gave it to us.
Where were you born?
I was born in Tampa.
Then it's especially incredible that you're the most famous person
you can't trust,
from Wyoming.
You can't trust Wikipedia at all. So my best friend, or let me rephrase that. The guy who's I'm his best friend is Tom Segura, okay?
All right.
Yes, of course.
And he's such
an
idiot.
He's your challenge mate, right, Tom?
Yeah, exactly. And so he does these, like, he's just an idiot. And what he finds funny, he finds funny. One of the things he did one time was change my Wikipedia page entirely. And they were like, just so you know, Bert's a big advocate for the game Shirts versus Skins. He's like, sometimes he spends his time digging holes and eating worms. Like, just. So, yeah, no, I've never even been to Wyoming.
So, that's an amazing
stat,
then. So,
it's Tom. It's Tom did this, then, right? He's the one who came up with
it. He's an idiot. You know, my
by the way, he's a genius if he came up with that.
No, he's an idiot. Let me tell you something.
Both.
He just. My special comes out today, right now.
Yes,
it's streaming
congratulations.
Right now on Netflix.
Secret Time.
Secret Time on Netflix. Check it out. Tom. Paid his own money to get his own promos animated. He paid his own money.
Okay.
To make promos of just making fun of me. And put them all online. So it's a cartoon character of me just eating tons of food, shirtless, breasty, what? Murdering Tito's, and then burping out the name Burnt Chrysler.
He's doing good work, as far as I'm concerned.
He did more work promoting my special than he did his, because he loves to make fun of me.
Why is he so obsessed with you, and why are you his best friend, but he's not your best friend?
That was an odd distinction.
I didn't notice that, yes.
I'm older than him. That's how that works. When you're the older guy, you are their best friend.
I see. But he's not yours
I can't be his best friend. I'm Joe Rogan's best friend.
I got you. Oh, that's right. Okay.
This special, Bert Kreischer Secret Time, as you mentioned, available now on Netflix. And we've all seen it because we were excited about it.
And it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Was there any fear, either from you or from the people around you, or maybe even at Netflix, that, Bert, you're a party guy and you're growing up now. Are you going to lose your edge here?
I got to be dead honest with you. I was totally afraid of that. Like, I was like, you don't know how people perceive you. And I think people perceive me as just some big drunk who takes his shirt off and kills, like, a grown-up Frank the Tank, you know?
It's true. That's probably pretty accurate.
And I don't really even live that life as much as, I mean, I drink, I party. I probably party more than the average person. I drink on planes to the point where you get cut off. But, like,
but you're married, you keep your kids alive. I mean, you're somewhat responsible.
Exactly, but I think I got this great review in Forbes magazine, and they're like, Bert can last middle-agedness. And I was like, that's right. But you can't, because you can't help what you write about, and I just write about my stupid kids and my wife.
Right.
And that's it. And so, you know, it's hard to top the Machine story. It's hard to do a special and do a better story than the Machine story. That's my opus. I'll
right,
never
sure.
do better than that.
But
right.
you do come out and you say, I'm a terrible parent.
I am a horrible parent.
And that's perfectly, that makes sense for
that's
you
on brand.
Especially. Yes, it's on brand very much.
Oh, I am a, like, I, but my favorite joke out of the whole special is when we were kids, there was this kid who all the time, my parents would be like, oh my gosh, Amy Bennett's mom was drunk, dropped her off at school the other day. And I remember as a kid being like, whoa, how does that happen? And then you become a parent, you're like, oh, I know how that happens. I've been there. There are parents right now listening to this going, yeah, if I got pulled over, I'd get a DUI. Oh, no questions asked.
Your wife is willing to pick up the slack, though, and be a super parent, it sounds like. God bless her, right?
I mean, first of all, God bless her for marrying you.
Well, yeah, of course. Right?
Let alone then taking most of the parenting.
Thank God. I mean, I'm not pretty naked. Like, if you looked at me naked, it looks like I'm still wearing a belt. And it looks like I outgrew my junk. Like, it just doesn't fit. Thank God, whatever her parents did to mess her up, thank God.
And how does she put up with your craziness? Are you anywhere near as crazy at home? Because I would think that would get tiring.
Yeah. I think I'm probably crazier. Like, the really crazy things I don't share. Like the parts where you're like we just fought on the car ride over because I'm doing Conan on Monday and I wanted to email these two bits, but I left my computer at home.
Right.
And I was like, oh. And I just called her and I was like, hey, can you get on my computer and email something? She's like, hold on, I'm icing my back. Immediately, anyone who's icing their back will not be good at operating electronics. And next thing you know, my 70-year-old Russian driver is listening to me. She's like, okay, I'm in your computer. There's just stuff all over the place. And I'm like, what? There's just stuff all over. And then like a picture of me and you. I go, okay, that's my desktop. All right. All right.
It's a good start.
Yeah. She's like, wait, you have a picture? Well, why did you use this picture? I'm like, stop that. We just need to send an email.
And stay on target.
Yeah, stay on target. And I was like, just go to email. She goes, I don't know where your emails are. I go, it's the same computer you have. We bought the same damn computer. Oh, it was knockdown, drag out. And my driver's listening to this, laughing hysterically. But I would never. I guess I just did share that.
Sure, I want a full time camera on the Kreischer household. I really do.
Agreed.
Dude, I have a Nest Cam, and I got caught by myself.
Oh no!
You got it.
Okay. No. All right.
That's a terrible visual. Decision. You're like, what do I stop and run out of the room, or just mad dog it and finish?
That's an embarrassing 20 seconds right there.
And you do mad dog it. I hope if you're half the man I know you are.
If my wife did catch it, she goes, oh my god, oh my god. I at least have the decency to stare right into the camera and go, this is my house. This is my, I am putting my claim on this house.
Now, speaking of your body, I did have a question slash comment for you.
Shoot.
You walk out on the special on Netflix. It's out today.
Yeah.
You walk out on stage, and before you do anything else, you take off your shirt and throw it into the crowd.
Yep.
Why wear a shirt? I feel like it would save you a lot of money if you just walked out shirtless.
What?
It's an odd thing.
It's really
that shirt gets 4 seconds of airtime.
It's probably the showman in me.
Okay.
Like, if I just walked out straight shirtless, I think a lot of people would have questions like, well, what was he just doing backstage?
Yeah, okay. All right.
That's a wonderful souvenir, though, for a Bert Kreischer super fan who goes home with your sweaty clothing.
Hey, secret time. In the special, the guy that caught it's my cousin.
Oh, no. What? What are the chances of that?
It was in Philly. My whole family lives in Philly. I rip it. You'll see it. You can see it in my eyes when you watch my special. I rip it off and I throw it in the balcony, and my cousin caught it. And I went, you can see it in the special. I put him. I go, hey, like, what are you doing here? And then in my head, I was like, I wanted to, like, stop and break down and go, someone grabbed the shirt back from my cousin. Now we don't have to give it away.
That's right. All right, Bert.
That's what happens is you just keep each shirt by throwing it to family members.
There
you go.
Oh, now fans pay money for my shirts.
Is that right?
Like,
I'm sure.
They're like, hey, man. Well, because I do this thing called the waitstaff raffle where I get everyone in the crowd to give money. And then we raise, like, $1,500. We pull someone that works at the club's name, and then they get the money. It's a cool thing to do. And now people will go, I'll give $300 for your shirt, put it in the waitstaff raffle. And you're like, all right, here's
my shirt. That's very cool. Yeah.
That is cool. All right, we have to take a break. Our friend Bert Kreischer is here. The special is on Netflix today, and it's great, you guys. It's called Secret Time. More with Bert right after this on K-Rock. The Machine is here. Our friend Bert Kreischer on The Kevin and Bean Show. His latest special is available on Netflix starting today. It has been called the best thing he's ever done. It is called Secret Time.
Look, no one's going to source me on it, Bert.
I might as well say it. Your friends in Wyoming will love it. I know that.
Let me play a clip and you'll get an idea. By the way, very difficult task looking for a 30-second segment I could play that was suitable for broadcast from your special.
Yeah.
Very tough, but I did come up with this one. You're talking about taking your girl to college.
She's a kid when you drop her off for college. My wife will give her advice to her, life advice, and I'll give her the real life advice to save her life. Like, all right, here's the deal. Whatever your mom said's fine, but this is your dad talking now. When it comes to drugs, just take half. Yeah. Wait 2 hours, see if you like it, take the other half. If your boyfriend wants to blindfold you during sex, that means his roommate's gonna f*** you. Don't do it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what that means, ladies. There's a lot of girls going, oh, my God, I think I've got to up my number.
And that's the cleanest thing on the special. How many friends and family did you have in the audience in Philadelphia, Bert?
I had a lot. I did 6 shows at the Troc. So they were spread out. But in that show, my 2 cousins were in both balconies.
Okay.
So, and that was all I could really see. So, but I'm sure there were other people. But they all, my whole family hit me up for tickets.
Has your immediate family been there? So you're saying how dumb your kids are to your kids?
No. Oh, my immediate family. Yeah. My kids are too young.
Oh, they are. Okay.
And my dad doesn't find me funny.
you said that on stage, and I was like,
he legit doesn't find me funny.
That wasn't a joke.
No, not a joke at all. Like, he just doesn't get...
You made his life miserable, him having to raise you. You were an awful child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
So he's just over you. He's just happy to have you out of the house.
He started eating marijuana.
All right.
And this is my favorite story. He started eating marijuana because he's got a bad hip. He's like 70, and it helps him sleep. So we came out to L.A., tried it, and we're like, all right. We bought him $180 worth of edibles. He flew him home. And so you can tell he's on weed because he starts saying dude a lot.
He says dude.
He's like,
how old is he?
70. Okay. He's like, what's up, dude? What's up, dude? So my wife says to me, we go back to Tampa. My mom says, hey, Albert, to my dad, why don't you take the girls, my daughters, out to the dock and let them talk to your owl? I'm like, you got an owl? And he's like, dude, I communicate with this owl on the dock. I'm like, how much weed is he eating, Mom? So he takes us out there. I swear to God, he takes us out there, and he's like, watch this. Hoo!
No, he didn't.
And nothing happens.
Of course.
Hoo! Flatline, right? And I'm like, Dad. And he goes, maybe the girls should try, too. Come on, guys. So all 3 of them are like, hoo! They sound like a bunch of Crips letting them know the cops are in the neighborhood. And I go, Dad, maybe we'll try another day. He goes, oh, we'll try tomorrow. So he starts walking back into the house, and we hear, clear as day, we hear, whoo.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God. And I'm like, oh, my God. My dad goes, dude, I told you. Come on. And so he goes out to the dock, and he's like, whoo. And sure enough, we hear, whoo, whoo, whoo,
what the hell?
Hoo. And then my oldest daughter hits me, and she goes, Dad, look at the other old guy on his dock. Across the lake, there's another old guy. He's blind.
No.
My dad's high. And they're just talking to each other.
Both of them telling the greatest story that's ever happened to them.
You know that old man was in his house, and his wife is like, honey, your owl's out. And he's like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
I'm communicating with the animals.
Oh, my God.
Bert, are you going to be an awesome old person?
I'm going to be, if I make it, if I'm going to be the best old person ever. I have such great stories that, like, I can't wait to be like, Grandpa, tell him about the time you fought a bear. And I'm like, oh, I had a show called Hurt Bert on FX. This is back before the internet.
Because so many old people don't care about anymore because they're just dull and they're boring. But I have a feeling, if you survive it, you are going to be everyone's favorite old person because everybody's going to hear the stories about the old days.
I told my daughters the other day, they were like, Dad, I go out and play. And they're like, Dad, I don't want to go out and play. It's rough out there. I go, rough out there? Rough out there? I grew up in the 80s in Florida. I remember one time we were kids and the old kids came up with BB guns and they're like, all right, we got to count to 20, and then we're going to hunt you. And we're like, what? And they're like, we're going to hunt you. And we're like, we don't want to be hunted. And they're like, 1, 2. And sure enough, we got hunted with BB guns. Me and Chris Suarez hid in a chimney in a house that was being built until the sun went down. And then I went home, and I was like, my dad's like, where have you been? I was like, we were getting hunted like game. You ready for this one? I had to go to the bathroom one time. I was 9th grade. I was at baseball. And I said to the coach, I go, I got to go to the bathroom. And he goes, oh, buddy, Coach Kent. He goes, buddy, go down to the very end of the left field. See those cows over there? pee on their cow fence, and they'll spark up, and they'll go running like crazy. It's real funny. This is my coach telling me this. I was like, oh, good call, coach. Went running down, peed. I went to the bathroom in my pants. I fell on the ground convulsing. Everyone's laughing hysterically. I'm like, you're my coach.
Was it an electric fence?
It's an electric fence.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
1,200
my God.
Volts going up inside of me. Just this guy helped me pick colleges.
I got to tell you, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, honestly, that's amazing.
Oh, Bert, please stay alive forever, will you?
Oh, I plan on it.
I want you not only alive, I want you with a TV show when you're 80. I really do. Hey, by the way, we've been talking about Secret Time, the new special on Netflix. Let's not forget, you can see The Machine live and in person. You did the Irvine Improv last night. You'll be back there for two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Tickets are available at improv.com. You pretty much sell out, though, Bert. I can't imagine you're not, right?
I think all shows are sold out. I think there's tickets available for the late show tonight.
Okay.
But
okay.
Not
all
many.
Right. Yeah, improv.com, obviously 18 and up to see Bert Kreischer on stage. How were they last night, by the way?
They were amazing. Like, that's legit great. Amazing. Like, I said to myself, I was like, if this is the future of my career with the Netflix special, man, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. They were just on it,
and I did
an hour's worth of new material that's not on the special, and they were like, one kid was like, bro, is this all new? And I was like, yeah, I can't. You're going to go see the special tonight. I'm not going to deliver for you twice today.
The thing about Bert, we were talking to him off the air, is I know that you're a professional and you're working very hard when you're out there, but you just make it look like it's so much fun and that you're having the time of your life on stage, and I love that.
I can't help it. I couldn't be one of those angry comics. Like, no, I mean, we all
love... No one would buy it from you.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't be like a overthinky comic where it's like, you know, like really like, I can only do what I do. And it's just, it's an extension of me hanging out in your living room.
Yes.
If I was at your house, I would definitely probably be in a Speedo or have my shirt off.
Yeah.
And I would be telling the exact same stories.
Absolutely. All right. Get to Secret Time, Netflix, today. Before you go, Bert, Kevin's got 60 seconds of rapid-fire questions.
Just
answer
this stuff
with the first thing that comes to your mind. Bert Kreischer is on the clock starting now.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
I'm a very aggressive wiper.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, Sister Christian.
What's your drink of choice?
Tears and soda.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Open. Oh, I got a bull mastiff. Aggressive dog kisses.
What were you like in high school?
Cool as crap.
What's the first job you ever had?
Running files for my dad as a runner and an attorney.
What's the worst TV show you enjoy?
I don't know. Carnival Eats! Carnival Eats on Food Network! Carnival Eats! Carnival Eats! Okay. Carnival Eats!
You're too excited about that. What did you want to be as a kid?
Professional baseball player.
Have you ever been in a real fight?
Oh, a lot of times.
Have you won them?
Never.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
If you could be anyone for a day, who would you be?
I would be a deep sea diver.
Just anyone?
Just a deep sea diver.
I'm looking for a name, but that'll work.
I panicked on the last one. I don't even want to be a deep sea diver. I swear to God, I'm scared of diving. I get panic attacks.
That's the weirdest thing ever.
I panicked.
It's okay, I just know I need to see Carnival Eats. It sounds fantastic.
Dude, Carnival Eats is amazing. It's such a bad show. It's all about carnival food. As if anyone at their office is like, "What do you want to do for lunch?" And
right.
Someone's like, "Well, there's a carnival 25 miles away. Want to go get a deep fried Twinkie?" But it's a guilty pleasure. By the way, I can't crap on the host, Noah Kapp. He's a great host. But
all
that
right.
Show is just, they say to him, like, ooh, so the cheese you're putting on the sandwich, where do you get it? He's like, out of the bag.
Bert, have fun at Irvine this weekend. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys. I love you.
Thank you, man.
Look. Don't we have enough actual problems in the world without DJ Omar Khan inventing new ones?
What are you talking about?
It's true.
Omar, I didn't invent this problem.
Yes, you did. You came in out of nowhere yesterday and you're like, oh, guys, I'm so exhausted. I don't know what I'm going to do. People keep wishing me a happy birthday on social media. Now what?
Well, no, I was just wondering, you know what? I'm on a couple of socials. I'm off Instagram because my phone's old and it doesn't work. So if anybody wished me a happy birthday on Instagram, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to reply. But it got me thinking. Every year, I post a couple times a year on Facebook. I was late to the party on Facebook, and I only post a couple of promotional videos for the DJ business. By the way, if you want to book me, I'm a really good DJ, djomercon.com.
seems shoehorned.
Go on. I post
for my birthday, because a lot of people, about 100 people, maybe 200 people, post happy birthday.
Is it 100 or 200?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. I really don't know.
Seems like an oversell.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
And this is because everyone who follows you on Facebook has access to your birthday, because that's a message that's sent out that says, hey, remember to...
They get a little notification.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that started to... I was like thinking, last year, I posted like, hey, thanks for all the birthday wishes, like 5 days late. And I started thinking, I was like, are these people getting upset that I'm not posting that, or, you know, kind of like replying? Or is it something like for me, it would be kind of like, oh, you know what? I hope Omar sees this. You know, I just want to wish him well, you know?
Yeah.
So you're asking like the etiquette of when someone wishes you a happy birthday on Facebook.
What is the etiquette? Am I a bad dude if I don't? Because I haven't posted, you know, hey, thanks for all the birthday wishes. Mm-hmm. Does that make me a bad person?
I think you need to get over yourself that someone's sitting at home like, why hasn't Omar responded?
Okay.
Like, no, it doesn't. No.
It doesn't
matter. Are all of these people wishing you a happy birthday close friends?
Some are, which I don't get. I don't know if Chip, did you post on my timeline?
No. I told you happy birthday to your face.
Okay, but Dave posted on my timeline.
Well, it's
And
Dave.
I'm thinking, what?
That should be a clue right there.
Right, you know?
Yeah, people that don't like you, that don't want to interact with you on a human level, are writing that on your timeline.
Well, that's giving him a new complex.
What?
Listen.
Is that really true?
Listen, I don't want to be hot take Jones over here.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, I think that if you ignore the happy birthday messages without even giving a like, or like just a thumbs up, kind of a dick.
But
really?
He's not on Facebook.
Doesn't
not.
Matter.
I only
he
get,
has
I get
one.
The, I get the little email things that, oh, there's, you know, activity on my Facebook. Yeah.
And then did you go check out the activity? Because so many people were saying happy birthday.
No.
So how do you know?
That. How do I know what?
That so many people wished you happy birthday.
Because you see with the emails.
You're a jerk.
With the emails. Why am I a jerk?
Because imagine if you're going down the street and someone's like, hey, man, happy birthday, Omar. And then you just kept walking.
But that's different. That's real life.
Well, listen, in 2018, these are blurred, sir.
That's very sad to me then. If that human interaction is gone, because I got, on the flip side, I got, you know, in real life, I got about 20 texts.
Oh, text messages. So, man, I didn't know there were such personal interactions, like a text message.
That's more personal because I know that person than on social media.
It's all
because
the same. No one's saying
not.
It to
me.
No, especially for people like us, because I mean, I'm going to say 90% of the people that are my friends on social media are fans of either this show or the podcast or, you know, my DJ gigs or, you know, so we don't really know each other.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, they're just being nice. And for me to physically have to go like it
out
of obligation.
So
he just did the move with his thumb like
so
it was
tiring.
A lot.
Dude, I'm super busy.
What,
right,
run,
like
what
I said,
run,
I'm
four
not, I'm
miles
not on,
for Wi-Fi?
I'm not on Facebook.
Right.
I'm not on Facebook all the time.
To me, it's very simple. If it's bothering you, wondering if you've upset people, you just put a blanket. Thanks so much. You guys know I'm not on Facebook a lot. I just want you to know I read your birthday wishes. Means a lot. Thanks. Boom.
Okay.
You're done. You're
so
good.
Yeah.
Let me butt in here, if I may.
Please.
Jensen, you're a guy who has quite a sizable Twitter following, over 50,000 people.
Sure.
You get a lot of tweets. Do you feel it is rude if you don't respond to those tweets? Do you answer everyone who reaches out to you?
Listen, Twitter's yelling into a toilet. I'm talking about Facebook.
Is the toilet.
No, Facebook is a toilet as a company. But most people that are your friends on Facebook, at least in my case, should be people who know you or are involved in your life.
Then you have a personal page.
Yeah. No. Okay, so let's make a distinction here.
Mm-hmm.
On your fan page.
Like, I don't have a fan page.
No, then it's a personal page. I'm back to my hot take! My hot take is this. If you have a personal page and you want to make people feel like they're your friends and one of them wishes a happy birthday, hit the like, bro! It takes 2 seconds. By the way, the thing she's saying about, like, tell everybody blanket statement, that might take longer. All you got to do is go to it, like, and then you're done.
But do you think these people are actually getting their feelings hurt or anything like that?
Oh, please don't disregard the idea that I think these people are creepos. Because I don't understand why they're every day waking up and being like, whose birthday is it? Facebook.com.
You see, that's the other issue I'm really weirded out with, like, if you get a notification, it's so-and-so's birthday. Mm-hmm. There are people out there that are just automatically, every morning, it's part of their routine. Hey, I got to wish, you know, so-and-so a happy birthday just because I got the notification.
Yeah.
Why is that a thing now?
That I can't defend.
I have made a life decision that has just benefited me across the board. I'm not on Facebook.
Mm.
None of my friends are on Facebook. We don't care about anything about Facebook. It's easy.
And then when people, what about Twitter? Is Twitter different?
Twitter, if
they at Ally McKay and wish you a happy birthday, do you write back thanks?
Not all of them. And I will often do the thank you so much. But okay. I engage a lot on Twitter and I engage a lot on Instagram.
Yeah.
But then you have people that get mad that you don't respond to every single thing that they write. And you know what? That's not on me anymore.
Tough cookies.
I felt
right.
On your cheese.
I'm going to be honest, by the way. I felt bad. Jensen, you may not even know this, but 2 weeks ago, I lost my father. My dad passed away.
Yeah.
And I, you know, put it up on Twitter, which is the only social media that I use. I'm not on Facebook or Instagram. And I received, God bless our listeners, by the way, who care, but hundreds of sincere condolences. Hundreds.
But I sent you, maybe you didn't see it, I sent you a sincere condolence just on mm-hmm. private.
And I appreciate that.
And
yes.
I felt good about that. But if at any point, like, someone was like, hey, man, hope everything's well, you know, blah, 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 blah. If someone had texted you, and it was someone you kind of considered a friend, would you let it slide and not say anything back?
No, I definitely wrote back to everybody who texted me. I agree with Ally. I agree there's a more
huge
personal
difference.
Interaction.
My parents used to say, don't tell me on the phone, tell it to my face. And now we're saying, don't tell me on Facebook, tell me on a phone.
Yes.
We're getting worse and worse, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, because that is something that is a really genuinely sweet gesture from listeners
yes.
That I do not know, but that we do have a connection via this radio show. Am I out of line, kind of asking like what Omar was asking, am I out of line for not writing back to each of those people? Or is it understood that I'm overwhelmed with condolences and I shouldn't write back to everybody or shouldn't be expected to?
Yeah. I don't think people should expect things from people that they don't know. If it's your family member,
that's different.
And they're saying, oh, I'm so sorry about this, blah, blah, blah. You have a different relationship. But for people to be upset that you're not responding about a birthday wish or... And I don't think anyone's doing that.
But what if your
really
cousin? Did your cousin wish you happy birthday, Omar, on Facebook, or someone in your life that's close to you?
I don't know. I haven't checked it.
He would never know. By the way, I hope some Nigerian prince is offering you $7 million and you've never looked it up.
Oh, he responds to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yes.
All right. It sounds like the conclusion then, because Omar brought up the question is, does anyone care? Do I have to write these people back who wish me happy birthday on Facebook? It sounds like our answer is no. Don't even worry about it. Don't sweat it.
I want to stay on record. I think you just do a quick like, get out of there. It's just a hot, hot minute.
Oh, what if I take this opportunity and say, hey, thanks for the birthday wishes, y'all.
Done.
Well,
boom!
While you're doing that, maybe plug the DJ company again.
DJOmarKhan.com if you want me to DJ any event. Thank
Fair
you.
Enough.
All right, we've settled it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
What is happening with you today?
It was fine. It's just it ended with 6 seconds on. It said I still had 6 seconds, and it ended.
Did it?
Yes.
You know how it ends, right?
I do know how it ends, yeah.
Two things real quick, guys. One is we have decided to chloroform Beer Mug and hold him down and shave his head involuntarily. That's thing one. And thing two is we got a memo the other day from corporate.
I'd like to just say that since HR's on the phone, that we're not going to hold Muggs down and shave him.
No, that was clearly a joke.
I forgot we had
HR on the phone.
It's the wrong time to make that... statement.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely not. Right, we would never do that. I was just making a ha-ha. Okay. Who wants to read the memo? Okay, please do, because I know that I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Subject line, restroom use, common courtesy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sending out a reminder to please always practice common courtesy when using the bathroom facilities here at work. Please always flush.
Oh.
I mean.
Or gets better.
And make sure all evidence of your previous actions is properly disposed of. Nobody likes to walk into a stall and see what you just did or how much toilet paper is left to be flushed. Thanks. Now, my point is, this happens once, there's no memo.
Mm-hmm.
This happens 5 times. She's getting annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
This happens 20 times. She has to actually send out a memo about
poop. Poopy-dee-scoop.
Right?
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
Now, what kind of animals work at this radio station that don't know something you learned when you were 3, which is flush a toilet once you're done?
I mean, it does seem like it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine not
doing now.
But I think we also grew up with the, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Sure.
We're in a drought. Maybe that's the situation.
Okay, but I don't think, well, we can talk to Karina because she's on the phone, but I don't think, it doesn't sound to me like her complaint was mellow yellow. I don't think that's what's going on.
No,
here.
No.
Hey, Karina.
Good morning.
You wrote the funniest memo.
Oh, I have the hardest time putting it together and being very courteous.
I'm sure you did. Now, let's first answer Kevin's theory that this has happened dozens of times before you got to the point where you had to put it in our email.
Well, I've gotten many complaints.
Okay, many complaints.
Other people. And then, funny thing is, right after I sent this email, I walked in to find a surprise of my own. I don't know if it was already there or someone did it to
spite
me.
That's a nice surprise.
Oh, no.
To spite you.
Spite you.
Oh.
So there's like, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. If it's red, what the hell?
Oh, Karina.
What's happening?
I hadn't heard that one.
Oh. Yeah, no. that was my feeling that day. I was livid.
Wow. So Karina, I mean, I'm going to ask you to play armchair psychiatrist here. What do you think is going on? You don't think there's some exhibitionist here who's doing it on purpose. This is just somebody being lazy and not paying attention, right?
But how lazy do you have to be to not flush a toilet?
Yeah.
Exactly. The other day, an employee came to me and she said, I went into the large restroom here, has about 4 or 5 stalls. She went into 4 stalls. Every single one of them was disgusting and not flushed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, is it possible that there is something wrong with the plumbing and you flush it and it's just not working effectively somehow?
You know, we do
like not enough water pressure.
Yeah, so like there is, they're kind of like those lighter toilets that trying to save water or whatever. But there's, you check and you see, oh, all my toilet or my toilet paper was disposed of or whatever.
Right,
you don't
right.
Want any
you
of
check
that lingering,
it.
So you kind of do a double flush.
Yeah. Yeah, courtesy
we're not
flush.
For the water here, so we're good.
Yeah.
But all right. These people are just leaving it, like, disgusting. And their toilet seat covers are on the toilet, just everything.
I feel like we need to send Kevin over there
to do some of his interviews.
Is this just the ladies' room?
Oh, well, this was just the ladies' room that I had heard. And then right after I sent this email, I got a phone call and someone was telling me, you haven't even seen the men's room.
Oh, the men's way worse.
Oh, they're building mountains.
Right. What if you
come on.
Right. By the way, that's a good reason to not flush. If you're building the mountain.
You want people to see it?
You need to add to it.
Okay.
Kevin puts his name in it.
Right? I sign it.
All right, here's the question I've been dying to ask Karina, and I'm so glad you're on the phone, and that is, do you have any clues as to who the culprits might be?
Yeah,
is
give us their names.
Is there any suspicion out there as to who is a regular abuser of this policy?
That can't be bad for you to give us their first and last name. Let's do that.
I don't have names. Oh. I have people that I've been told, well, this person doesn't wash their hands, and that's gross, so that's another thing. But yeah, I don't.
When
really...
did you become the bathroom police? What a horrible job.
I'm sorry, why are people talking? It's not a restaurant. Why are people telling you on coworkers that aren't washing their hands?
That is weird.
That's weird.
Hey, Jim didn't wash his hands.
Oh, you know, Debbie in accounting? Ew, germy hands. What the hell?
It's disgusting because then you go and you're like opening the same door as that person.
Right.
And so just always use a napkin to open the doors.
I mean, that's probably a good idea.
All right, so Karina's a germaphobe. We know that now. So you don't have any suspicions as to who the culprits are here?
No. But I did get told by someone that they were forwarded the email and said, this is you.
So is that right?
Oh, good. All right, that's a nice start. That's a nice start.
Because I was going to suggest cameras.
Oh, I was about to put someone, I'm going to hire someone to just stand outside the restrooms and
attendant.
Yes, and go in immediately and then run after the person.
Or you have to sign in when you use the restroom. Then he checks after you leave and he's like, oh, number 34 right here.
Boom.
Joe.
They bring him to you, the police.
Yes.
Right?
I like it. I'm going to put that on my signature.
Do not encourage Kevin with the poolies.
I want to be a deputy.
I don't have anything to do with it.
Poody.
All right.
You have the worst job in the world, Karina.
Keep us posted.
Oh, man. Yeah, I will.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow. That happened. That's real. I'm going to post that memo.